Pastor Linstead, Aryan man, with an Armageddon plan, derailed Sog's railroad train. Wants to kill all the Jews and a lot of Uyghurs too. He has a psycho Aryan non-Uyghur brain. Martin had a wife he loved all his life. For grandkids they are so brave. Destroying Zog caught his eye and chasing off Zog's lie and putting Zog Babylon in its grave. It was on any weekday night when Jews lie that they's right. He pissed on damn kite claims. And the weird zap with a shout, them stupid fucking louts, that Pope Marty done hits at what he aims. Martin had a wife he loved all his life. For grandkids they are so brave. Destroying Zog caught his eye and finished off Zog lies and putting Zog Babylon in his grave. It was on any weekday night when the pastor was at home talking to Christ's family tree. When along's come dirty Jew and a Zogling Uyghur or two, making they's ass whooping nefaree. Martin had a wife he loved all his life. For grandkids they are so brave. Destroying Zog caught his eye and phasing off Zog lies and putting Zog Babylon in his grave. Well, the ass clouds hold their breath when they hear of pastor's depth. They wonder why he don't fucking lie. It was dirty pisser possums and all of Satan's mamsers that want to take him down on the sly. Martin had a wife he loved all his life. For grandkids they are so brave. Destroying Zog caught his eye and finished off Zog lies and putting Zog Babylon in his grave.
Starving farmer opened up his store. on a Christmas day. A whole carload of groceries with a letter that could say, you say that I'm an outlaw, you say that I'm a thief. We'll use a Christmas dinner for families on relief. If you travel, you'll meet some funny men. Some will rob you with a six-gun and some with a fountain pen. It's through this life you ramble, it's through this life you roam. You'll never see an outlaw take a family from your home.
Zogling, Wigger, and Mamzer ass clouds across the fruited, netted Zog plain. In the open air, coast-to-coast net ass, we call Zog Babylon the third and the final. But this show, as always, is aimed at the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ call. Greetings. This tonight is the 14th of June, 2012. I'm not over to the Newton County Republican, Sausage Fest here, where essentially independent, a whole bunch of politicians, and hardly anybody who's going to go ahead and listen to them anyway. And thus I don't have to worry about being thrown in jail. And let's see, tonight's 14th of June, 2012. It's about 8:38 Granby Uncentral Standard Time. And tonight's episode is 126.5, and it's called You and I Are Surrounded by Zogling, Wigger, and Mamzer Ass Clowns. And indeed we are. Indeed we are. Folks, your own family, chances are, is that most of them are Wiggers. You know, I mean, if you're a pure-blood Israelite. Now, if you're a Mamzer, of course, well, then, you know, most of your family will be Mamzers, you know, as well here. And sometimes you'll pretend to be in the white nationalist movement, sometimes you won't here. Doesn't really matter in that you're not going to fool anybody. You're certainly not going to fool Yahweh. Now, there's nothing much, out of the usual this week in the bowel movement, but I just got a link from Time Lord, and he went ahead and pointed out that, essentially Hal Turner is, out of, the communications unit. Essentially what it is that it's a special unit designed to call people who are against the government terrorists and keep them from writing or talking to their families. Now, like all these here little system innovations, I sort of think that the way to go ahead and cure that is simply, said before, put all policemen, put all lawyers, put all judges, put all prison guards to death here. And pretty well, when it comes time to deal with them and their crimes, they're guilty. Essentially, what you do is that you judge by how bad they were by whoever has been wronged by these people. That person goes ahead and gets to go against their, not only the criminals, but against the criminal's family. You know, how long, whether or not he wants to skin them alive or whether or not he wants to go ahead and make them his slaves and just geld them and do whatever he wants to with them here. I mean, essentially, a regime criminal doesn't have any rights. And generally, when you end up hearing people whine about rights or something like that, you're talking about privileges, which the government takes away or gives or does whatever it wants to with it. So, I'm looking at the example of how Yahweh dealt with the house of Israel after Jeroboam had taken over. And you found out that Yahweh didn't set these kings up, or even if he did, he would go ahead and usually form a counter-revolution against them. He went ahead and he pulled down Jeroboam, told Jeroboam while he lived that since he was wicked, since he went ahead and caused Israel to sin by going ahead and creating all these Baal gods, from Bethel to Beersheba, I'm not sure if it's to Bethel to Beersheba, but Beersheba is more like in the tribe of Simeon, which was part of the house of Israel, but pretty well south of Judea. So I heard they pretty well got assimilated. But you also got to understand, Christian identity doxology holds that since Palestine was never able to hold more than about 3 million people, that Israelites would have to go ahead and wander to Europe, as far as Britain, as, you know, as far northwest as Britain, as far southeast as India. But in any case, when Yahweh caused these, you know, when these kings would sin, even though they had been given their kingdom by Yahweh and they didn't trust Yahweh, and he caused the house of Israel to sin, pretty much these kings would be pretty well, their days would be numbered, their dynasties would be numbered. That happened with Jeroboam. It happened with a number of usurpers. It happened with the house of Omri, who was with Ahab and Jezebel. Pretty well, Yahweh went ahead and gave General Jehu an usurper 4 generations of kings. Now, essentially, the house of Jehu ruled for 98 years before it was, of course, overturned, and soon after the house of Israel had, I think, about 40 years left before it went in captivity. But in any case, I'm talking about Uyghurs. We have more and more Uyghurs with us ever since here. And essentially, it's stupid to deal gently with Uyghurs. Stupid to go ahead and deal gently with Mamzers and Jews and the rest here. You have to deal harshly with such creatures. And what you have to understand is that, at least in the view of real dual seed line Christian identity, there is no such thing as innocence. There's only sides. In fact, Moses, when he was out in the wilderness of sin and he seen these Israelites sinning, he said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" He said that a number of times before he went ahead and killed a whole bunch of sinning Israelites. usually it'd be rather ominous words. Who is on the Lord's side? Or who is on Yahweh's side? And then soon after that was said, usually there was a big slaughter, sometimes initiated by Yahweh himself, and sometimes by the new strong man who was given Yahweh's blessings here. In any case, folks, there ain't too much, because, folks, we always have Uyghurs here. Bill White, he's in a Miami Gulag here, waiting to be sent back to Roanoke or whatever's going to happen to him. Hal Turner, though, is in a halfway house, where essentially they're just waiting to, you know, have Hal trip over his big lying tongue and, you know, divided to two little forks here like a Jew, and essentially, hopefully Hal will behave himself. Once he gets out, he'll have plenty of time to write an appeal, and who knows? Maybe in a year or two, maybe the worthless bastard will be giving the movement turn to run for his money. Eli or James is over on this Uyghur tard Dan Kiersey show. He's been whining about Finkelstein. He's probably whining about Kiersey. I'll go ahead and look later on here. Eli, I think, holds this show on Thursdays in order to go ahead and keep me from trolling the worthless Jew bastard. In any case, folks, oh, about a year, I'll go ahead and talk about April Gady. On June 19th, she was already going ahead and dumping, you know, Covington, and then taking the side, even though she said she wouldn't, if Uyghurs will, we lost, and heading the meerkat. And, folks, I'm going to go ahead and hope that people call in. What happens is I'm going to go ahead, let me see how many minutes I've been talking. Okay. 12 minutes or something like that. No big deal, folks. There's really not a whole awful lot other than thanks to Time Lord. So what I'm going to do is I'll probably, we'll take about a 2-minute break. I'll go ahead and unmute Time Lord. We'll wait 2 minutes and then hopefully Russ will call in on the cell phone here. Does this sound good to you, Russ? Anyway, we'll go ahead and I'll go ahead and unmute Time Lord. And, you know, Time Lord, do you want to be unmuted? Anyway, we're going to go ahead and take about a 2-minute break, folks. I mean, Uyghurs have been the same for, well, 7,000 years. Adam was a wigger. Eve was a round-heeled wiggeress. I mean, folks, it's hard. Sometimes it's very hard not to be a wigger, especially today. But, folks, you have a lot of wigger, a lot of wigger. Just like one of my sock puppets, John Q. Wigger, says, the world ought to thank us wiggers. Because if it wasn't for us wiggers, the white man would take over here. See what happens? There's a sock puppet for J.A. White Man, so I went ahead and created a sock puppet over on Stumble and a few other places called John Q. Wigger. And I said, well, folks, I'm cousins to about everybody in the bowel movement, including the Mamsers and all the rest here. I'm sort of cousins, you know, maybe kissing cousins, whatever here. But you the world owes us wiggers. Us wiggers, a vote of confidence, because it wasn't for us wiggers, the white man would have took over long since here. You got to understand is that you end up having 9 or 10 or 100 wiggers for every white man. So, anyway, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break. Hail victory.
Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Till the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy drop. I wake up and ride away. Stupid wiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build the top up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. Wiggers keep remembering how good God used to be. Being taught long ago, our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy drop.
Okay, we're back. I'm going to go ahead and mute. I'm going to go ahead and mute Lloyd. I'm trying to here.
Hello?
Let me see. I had a whole bunch of stuff come down here all of a sudden.
Hello?
Hello, Lloyd. This it, right?
How you doing? Yes, I'm doing pretty good.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you for giving me that link to about Hal Turner being turned loose. Frank Wigger was saying that we've never heard Hal's side of the story, and that's true, but there's a problem there. Hal is a lying bastard. Hal's going to say about anything, won't he?
Oh, yeah,
right?
He'll tell stories and stuff.
Hal's a lying bastard, right?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so what good does it do for Hal to tell his side of the story? I mean, nobody's going to believe him, is it? Are they?
No, probably not.
Well, unless you're a tard. I mean, if you're a tard, you'll believe Hal. But
I don't believe Hal Turner for much of anything, really.
Well, see, I mean, you know, I believe letting Hal have his side of the story, too, here. It's just that, well, you know, other than, it's sort of like, you know, asking Mrs. Lincoln, how's the play here? You know, asking Hal his side of the story, and other than the fact you're a lying bastard who was, you know, going ahead, going to ask some Alvin Zog and snitch on people, you know, I mean, you know, what difference does it make what your side of the story is, right?
Yeah.
You know, so, anyway.
I want to talk about your show you did, Saturday Night After News Guy show. I listened to it, and you went all over After News Guy.
Well, maybe I shouldn't have, because essentially, I believe News Guy is a Jew. I believe he was a Jew, you know, when I was first halfway listening to him, when he interviewed Brian Rance. This guy got to be a Jew. I mean, nobody but a Jew would believe that this little shit-skinned mamzer faggot Brian Rio is, you know, is anything other than a mamzer or something like that. And then he said his name was Peter Goodman, which is a Jew name. And in any case, I think he's a Jew boy in Owen, Brooklyn, or Queens, or something like that, somewhere in New York, and he's just going through the motions, pretend to be from Iceland here. So, you know, since I think he's a Jew boy, I can't really say I'm disappointed in him. I mean, it's not like he's going to act any differently. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. I just don't. I mean, I've never met him, News Guy. He's all right. I don't have a problem with him. I get along with him pretty good on the board and stuff and everything. And that Reverend Boa, he's been on NIMBusters about 10 years ago. He goes by Big Boa, and he did a talk show called Boa's Pit. Pretty good.
Well, I go ahead and I listen to him. What you got to understand is that, you know, I said before, in the dual seed line, the real dual seed line, you know, Christian Identity Church,
yeah.
I mean, you know, by definition, non-whites essentially are the spawn of Satan. You know, Jews are the spawn of Satan. Non-whites are just simply soulless beasts of the field who can't go ahead and do anything correctly, cannot please Yahweh. Jews certainly are against it. And, you know, I mean, even among whites, what happens is that the vast majority of them will choose evil, and they will go ahead essentially and choose death, you know, not an ever-burning hell or anything like that. So the vast majority, you know, to us here, is simply, it doesn't matter what you pretend to do, or, you know, how much you think you feel fooling Yahweh or fooling other Uyghurs or whatever. I mean, essentially, for someone like myself, it's altogether a matter of what side you're on. And I don't, you know, and like I've tried to tell other people, I don't believe that one Uyghur, I mean, doesn't have the ability like Napoleon to go ahead and oversee about 49 or 50 subordinates. Essentially, one Uyghur cannot keep control over 12 other Uyghurs and 17 other Mamzers, including a Jew or two. I mean, whereas if they're dead, they can't cause any trouble. So to someone like me, I mean, the solution, I sort of like what's going on, because all I see is an onrushing Great Tribulation to where essentially there's only going to be about maybe 10 million ex-Uyghurs at that left in the United States, ruled by 10,000 warlords, and then Jesus Christ is going to come. So to me, I don't worry, you know, about the death of the white race like Harold Covington does. I don't worry about a lot of stuff here. I mean, essentially, to me, it's all just really nice here. But what I've noticed is among Mamzer criminals, and I was locked up with Mamzer criminals and Jews and the rest here, is that essentially when you do have the few white men there, the Mamzers hate the white man, and generally in many cases, well, I mean, as I look at it, I mean, if there was proof or there was actual proof I was guilty of that, well, I wouldn't expect anything out of a death sentence. But on the other hand, making a false accusation means that essentially the policemen, the social workers, the judges, and the rest who side with Zog, they and their families die. And any Uyghur who goes ahead and sides with them, they die too. And essentially, about the only solution I have is the Great Tribulation to go ahead and essentially slaughter, pretty well the vast majority of everybody on both sides, but most of the sides are evil. And, I mean, essentially, to me, there's just one penalty, is death. And, I'm not interested in hearing excuses or anything like that. So, generally, I'm innocent, but I have gone ahead, and essentially, people like Jeremy Visser and all these other characters, they don't know a damn thing about it. They weren't here in Newton County. They didn't have a handle on that. They assume that I'm guilty because, hey, they hate me. You know what I mean? And, so as a result, these people act like I'm going to go ahead and essentially put them to death because they called me a name or they hurt my little feelings. And the answer is no. I'm just going ahead and going, essentially, this show is just sort of like Jess's 315 Foot Patrol. I go ahead and notice from where I'm getting the fire. And, eventually it's time to go ahead and do like when I was an artilleryman, even though these were nuclear, missiles, not tube units here, but doing what I call fire for effect here. And essentially, I'm just running around, essentially looking at the stalls, looking at, just going ahead and looking from where the fire comes and essentially, take down that grid square, take down that county, take down whatever. And essentially, these characters, all they know is they hate me. And, of course, I hate them, and it doesn't really matter here. So when I hear these characters don't know a damn thing, I mean, I go ahead and react here. Now, news guy, he was running around. He wasn't tired. He was running around, and, when this Boa character, dropped off, when these other characters dropped off, and old news guy was just with me alone, essentially, here's old Genderbender, here's Jeremy Visser. I mean, essentially, they all found something else they had to do, but Newskike had to go ahead and show how badass, how control he was by going ahead and going on with the show by another 10 minutes here. And, okay, Newskike, you pretty well just lost because you've gone ahead, essentially, by anybody who listens, so that you're just a lying tight pussy.
I fell asleep during the show, so I was up all day, and he keeps saying, you moved that show late, and I can't even, I fall asleep right after I get on my call for some reason, so I just, I woke up next time he called for me, and I was about half asleep, so.
Well, he starts at 9 o'clock. Iceland is, 5 hours more than Central Time, so here it is, it's equivalent to 2 o'clock, and what happens is that he'll just go ahead and just talk with somebody. Essentially like he's going ahead talking to Russ Walker, me and Russ Walker, to where essentially you don't see Russ Walker calling in. Essentially what you do is you see him calling my phone number, my home phone number. And, news guy does the same thing. So essentially the pretense that he's an Aryan living in Iceland is pretty well, patently ridiculous because he's going ahead and starting the show at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then going on to the equivalent of six or seven or eight, essentially it's all together ridiculous. I don't believe he's anything like that.
Did you get a chance to listen to Todd call Saturday night about his court and everything?
Who's?
Todd Dougherty.
Dougherty, I'm sorry, I don't really know this guy at all here. Is he in trouble or something?
Hold on, Saturday night. N9OGL, did you get a chance to listen to him?
No, to be honest with you, are they Nimbusters or are they somebody else?
He's one of the hams.
Okay. And what does he do, talk on a talk show
He's the one in Illinois that got arrested for making the threat and everything, and he evidently broke his probation. He ended up getting 45 days of home confinement.
Okay. What is he on probation for? Make it a threat or something like that or what?
Misdemeanor threat.
Okay. Well, what you have is that it's sort of stupid to go ahead and make, quote, threats here. Generally, they're going to be a whole lot more scared of you, I mean, if you don't make a threat. I have had, in my time in the bowel movement, I have had idiots and race mixers going ahead, essentially screaming, you know, that I somehow found, you know, I live in Kansas City here, and somebody's gone ahead and burned a cross on my lawn. And that's maniac Martin Lister. Well, who am I going to go ahead and get? You know, this guy didn't even know. Essentially, I've been blamed for doing a number of things that, you know, I don't hear. I sort of like, essentially, a lot of people going ahead and, you know, being scared to death of me. What I found is that on the Internet, as long as characters like Newskike or Boas or something like that can go ahead, essentially, and think that they are, well, essentially they're anonymous, and they really aren't here. They really aren't. But, and another thing, you go ahead and find out that the more you stay on the Internet, the more stuff you're going to go ahead and leave behind, to where sooner or later they're going to go ahead and be able to track you and be able to go ahead, you know, in many cases, lead you out. I mean, Brian Rear used to go ahead and threaten to shove spears, you know, through some 86-year-old woman in a wheelchair's head. Once I went ahead and found out that, okay, it was Brian Rear who was doing that, I mean, essentially, the little bastard went on a rampage along with Eli James to go ahead and take down web pages, you know, including them busters a number of times. And, you know, in any case, to me, it doesn't really matter too much about a Mamzer doing something that's worthy of death, because essentially just by being a Mamzer, you know, to me, he's worthy of death here. I mean, he's just sort of like a coyote or a crow or something like that. You're not going to expect anything good from a coyote or a crow or a Jew. I mean, you expect evil from them. And there's no such thing, you know, these critters are born that way. And, but once you go ahead and you find out who they are, I've usually found that they're a lot more circumspect because now they've been tagged. And, about a month ago, I went ahead and found out this Stephen Brower, and essentially he was known to be stupid enough to go ahead and give me confirmation that it was him. And, I mean, once you go ahead and find out these characters, they get a lot better behaved here once they've been caught here. But, you know, I guess I didn't keep track of this NIMBUK. To be honest with you, what I will do is after the show tonight, I'll go over to NIMBUKers and save pretty well the front page. And some of it's so ridiculous, I'll laugh my head even though it ain't very nice. And, you know, but I don't think I've posted NIMBUKers for about a month or so. You know what I mean?
Speaking of NIMBUKers here, Frank and Wigger wanted me to bring up something. This is another thing I wanted to bring up on the show tonight is I've got a subboard over there. First of all, I had the ham board, and I was a moderator of the ham board, and Roger Wiseman and all them hamtards, they complained to Stan and all that stuff because I was supposedly deleting their posts and blocking them and all this because they were being tards. And then Stan, without any email notification, has this poll about should Lloyd continue to be the moderator, and of course they all use the Tor browsers and the proxies and everything and booted me off the board, so it was kind of a coup d'etat. And then
you've been coup d'etat?
Yeah, like coup d'etat, like you being overthrown.
Mm-hmm.
I was overthrown from the ham board, and then Stan gave me another board on another site, and I had that for 3 or 4 months, and he decided to get rid of the site once again without any kind of email notification. And now Stan gave me this board. It used to be called the Cocksucker's Lounge, where he would send a lot of Roger Wiseman's posts and everything to, until he renamed it Lloyd's Lounge and gave me the password. Well, you know, I work 40 hours a week. I don't have time to be on that board every hour of the day deleting posts and posting stuff, so I guess apparently Stan's frustrated because I'm not using the board enough, and so he's posted 3 or 4 times on Nimbusters if anybody wants my old board. Of course, he hasn't sent me any email regarding to the fact, so I don't know what Stan's doing.
Well, generally, by the way, folks, it seems like the Dick Relton thing. So, folks, if you're waiting to be unmuted, essentially it looks like one of my computers sort of hung on me. But what happens is that a lot of people, including myself, including Bill White, I mean, essentially Bill White was, you know, supposedly going through a number of people and posting onto the Nimtard board. And essentially he was saying, well, I can't get on using a Tor browser. And, you know, folks, I mean, the same thing is with OpenGenderBender's 2.5 Mamsers forum. I mean, if you can't go ahead and get on, using, well, you know, going ahead and using a, using a Tor browser, well, essentially, there's no excuse. I mean, essentially, what these people are doing is they are indeed,
what's a Tor browser? I've heard of Tor browser, but
it's supposedly it's able to go ahead and allow you to, cruise the net by going to a number of different locations. You know, I mean, what happens is sort of like an anonymizer. Now, I don't go ahead and believe that because I've been on the internet since 1995, and I remember anonymous proxy server. It was based in Finland.
Yeah.
And what happens is that being based in Finland, it turned out that it was a front for the NSA. And essentially what it did is that by going ahead and doing that, now you know they're worried about PGP. I've always thought the PGP had a backdoor. But what it allows you to do is that it has a tendency to sort of screw up a browser in some cases here. So what I do is I got one of them $70 gateways that I got, you know, real cheap with a 40 gigabyte hard drive from 2004 or something like that that I bought for $70, you know, complete with monitor and speaker and all this here, just integrated gateways, you know, supposedly cost internet ready computer for $95. Bring in this ad, get $25 off. So for $70, you get an internet compatible computer with a Pentium 3 or Pentium 4 compatible, you know, Intel, which does what, 1 gig or something like that. And essentially, it's slower than snot. And what happens is that you go ahead and use a little thumb drive, download the Tor browser, and then go ahead and cruise essentially on that thumb drive stuck into a USB 1.1 thing on an old computer. And pretty well, I've used it to go ahead and troll Finkelschemes. I've used it to troll Dan Jobs. I've used it to go ahead and do a number of things with it. But essentially what happens is that, you know, it has some sort of disadvantage in that if you go ahead and set up a Gmail account or a Yahoo, you know, I'm not sure about Yahoo, but if you go ahead and set up an account, an email account, and essentially it believes that you're, you know, in Russia or Denmark or Germany, and the next time you're in, what, the United States, or you have these things all the time here. In order to go ahead and see which sort of, you know, thing you're spoofing, go ahead and go over to yahoo.com and see what sort of thing that you go ahead and come up here. I can read a little bit of German, can't read any Russian. I mean, essentially it'll show pictures, you hear the news, and essentially you'll know which server you're spoofing. And pretty well what OpenGenderBender does not allow Tor browsers to go ahead and get on there because he wants to see what the IP number is. And there's a lot of people that Stan is a data miner. You know what I mean? So, in any case, I have no idea. I mean, it used to be that, you know, they didn't worry about too much about Tor browsing here 2 years ago or so, but now they're worried about it, or Stan is, and essentially he don't want you to go ahead and use a Tor browser.
Yeah, I know all about the, you know, back in Usenet news groups, people using multiple screen names, and when you had America Online, you could use up to 5 different screen names, and I think that's what Roger Wiseman and all them did on the news groups, and, you know, it's change your screen names. Roger Wiseman would also use anonymous remailers to send posts to
news
groups.
Well, that's what you're talking about, what used to be, but essentially the first anonymous remailers only based in, you know, Finland turned out to be an NSA plant here, a National Security Agency plant here, and that sort of scared everybody, and, you know, it didn't scare me. AOL, what happens, AOL has, you know, essentially it has what's called a dynamic IP address, you know, because essentially it's based upon dial-up, and essentially dial-up would use a dynamic, you know, a dynamic IP address here, because essentially the entire company would go ahead and have, well, the telephone company would go ahead and have it based upon, what, 56 KPS or something like that. I don't know. You know, there's some people go ahead and still use plain old telephone service, and they still use AOL, but, I mean, you know, we used to call it Agent Online, because supposedly AOL would go ahead and kick you off. You said something racist, but essentially it was also known as Agent Online, because essentially a lot of people who would have this, like Jeremy Visser and Mumps Nuts Wirebill, The Clueless or something like that, would be able to go ahead and not have a particular IP number. I mean, if you went ahead and looked at, okay, it's an AOL account, it can be anywhere from Reston, Virginia to St. Louis to Atlanta, Georgia to where have what have you. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you didn't really know about that. So, essentially, you've had these people, and they've been, you know, I mean, Zogsman going ahead and spying and, you know, going ahead and doing a lot of stuff. And I went ahead and said this, that even back in the old days of 1995, pretty well when the Internet as we know it today first got started, why, you know, the people who are really deep woods would not go ahead and even be seen going to a page or something like that, because Zog was spying on people back then.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, generally, whenever I'll have Secret Service or an FBI agent come by, I mean, I just simply say, okay, look, you worthless bastard, why don't you go ahead and why don't you go back to Joplin or Springfield, wherever you come from, and go back to my webpage and just simply look about what I'm going to say about this little expedition by you. I mean, no, people say, why can't you go ahead and talk to these people like that? I mean, you know, I talk to them. I just simply tell them outright here is that I hate their guts and that they need to die, and that essentially, I don't worry about the legality. I don't go ahead and play around at the legality, because as I look at it here, there's no political problem that can't be solved by killing about 10 or 20 million Uyghurs here who essentially, you know, go ahead and go on the wrong side here. To me, it's not about, you know, it's not about guilt or innocence here. After I had a big old fight with a 6'5", 300-pound maniac named Martin Burke, essentially this social worker bitch was bitching about how I went ahead and had it coming or I deserved it. I said, look, it was up to me. I'd make Martin Burke a level 5. You know, the top level was level 4. I'd go ahead and, you know, I'd make him level 5 and give him a Snickers candy bar to sodomize your 6-year-old kid here. And he would. You know what I mean? I mean, he'd do whatever the hell he wants to do here. I mean, don't give me this crap about how, you know, how I went ahead and egged Martin Burke, you know, Martin Burke on. Now, I made the mistake of pretty well, oh, he'd been getting freakier and freakier and freakier, and August is the worst time to go ahead and get onto him, because he got sent to the Fulton State Nut House for forcible sodomy, in September, around the 1st of September. And every August he just gets, he's mean, he's evil, he's cunning, but he's seriously psychotic. And what happens in August, he gets even worse here, because then he, you know, another year locked up in the nut house here, I can't get out. And, you know, because he's guilty as hell. And, you know, I had a big old fight with him August 16th of 2006 here. And it was an epic battle. And essentially, you know, all I got was a cracked rib or two and a few bruises out of it here. Kept that maniac from clawing my eyes out. But, oh, what happens the next year on August 2nd, 2007, here's this 5'10" sort of fat, white coat, you know, named Greg Reynolds. He tells him to cut the Camille Act. He's not going across the street to Gilman. You know, you're not fooling anybody. And instead of going ahead, and he just goes ahead and loses it, freaks out, and he goes ahead and puts 5 major concussions on poor old Greg and breaks a bunch of his bones and damn near kills him, and he isn't able to go ahead and go resume his job at the nut house for another, 6-7 months here. They had to have a benefit for him or something like that. And I was tempted to say, well, I guess old Greg must have gone ahead and stirred up poor old Martin Burke. Yeah, well, hell, he must have gone ahead and started this shit. And this nigger bitch, Marlene French, you know, not Marlene French, but Alicia Thompson, you know, she'd gone ahead and doped me up, and she wrote a whole bunch of shit to where, hey, if I go ahead and just talk back to a nigger, I get a major infraction and busted down to level 1 week 1. And that happened one time when essentially this nigger, you know, 5-year-old, you know, nigger was about, you know, he was a sexual predator, something like that. And this nigger said he's following me everywhere. I said, I'm not following a homosexual negro anywhere. And essentially, for calling him a homosexual negro, I got busted down by this goofy bitch named Patty Powers here. And essentially, this was this nigger bitch, Alicia Thompson. And essentially, this other nigger, you know, psychiatrist, you know, the Marveling French here. She doped me, you know, she had me doped up too. So I wasn't able to go ahead for 2 whole years. I was doped up illegally. And it wasn't until I got a brand new white psychiatrist, fresh out of psychiatry school, thought he was a libertoon, and I went ahead and pointed out, I said, you know, shit, if you go ahead and take me off the forced medication, risperidone, which is not really done for, quote, psychotic disorder, not otherwise specified, whatever the hell that means, I mean, I can go ahead and go face trial up in Newton County, you can clear off the bed. And I said, and I said, yeah, go ahead and just do that. You can get rid of me. And you're talking about how you want me to go ahead and clear out space for people who really need it here, and you're saying that, you know, I don't really need to be here. Well, hey, just put your money where your mouth is and send me back to Newton County by taking away the excuse to have me up here to be doped up for face trial. Take me off the forced medication, and essentially, you know, if I get to choose whether or not I get doped up, why, then there's no excuse to be up here quoting here. You send me back to Newton County. And about this time, I pretend I was going to go ahead and hire a lawyer, too, here. I was getting tired of the nut house living, too. So, in any case, you know, how do I get on that? But anyway, Lloyd.
Down here this last weekend, down here in Alabama, we had as Hal Turner used to call it, a savage Negro beast. Got up in a fight with some people down at Auburn apartment complex around Auburn University and shot.
Oh yeah, a nigger football player.
What's that?
Nigger football. You know, something about nigger. You know, nigger football team or something like that, right?
Yeah, Auburn University.
Yeah.
Yeah. He,
well, that's
savage Negro beast got out of control.
Well, Negro beast get out of control. I mean, a lot of times. I mean, if it was up to me why, you know, people used to not go ahead and, you know, see, a nigger. Every single nigger, he looks at a white man, even the characters that, you know, the missing a faggot. Like, you know, one time I've seen this here, you know, the 6'5" nigger named Staten Gaines here, you know, black Muslim, you know, sovereign citizen nigger, goes ahead and he sees this here little mincing sort of wigger faggot who's 56, he looks about 76. You know, and I think the guy was a faggot, but, you know, you never tell us what he was in there for here. And essentially, he had a rude mouth here, but in any case, he was mincing around. He says, well, that Dennis here, he's in the Klan. I says, well, you know, I said, do you really believe the Klan would take someone like that? He says, well, how do you, you know, how do you know what you think about it? I said, well, hey, you know, I'm not a wearing classman. Oh, well, it's, at least you're honest about it. And what happens is that if a nigger will go ahead and, you know, think that this mincing faggot is a Klansman, you know, I mean, I never got any nigger said I was a liar for saying I hung around Klansmen or Aryan Nations or anything like that. I mean, they all believed that I was a stone cold racist. But essentially, you know, here's niggers that believe that some little mincing faggot, some old stupid faggot is a Klansman. And essentially, you know, niggers and Jews, they see a white man, and even if he's a pitiful specimen, they either think he's a Nazi or a Klansman or something here. And essentially, they have hatred and they have fear. And if you're stupid enough to go ahead and, you know, do away with their fear, I mean, essentially you're going to have to go ahead and deal with their hatred. And if it's up to me, these judges who went ahead and turned them loose, I mean, essentially I just go ahead and throw them, their family, a cage full of syphilitic niggers here and just tell them to enjoy the diversity that goes ahead and brings them here. But essentially people are getting more and more racist because they just don't have the money to run no more. They have these houses that are underwater. They're being infiltrated by niggers. They don't have the money to go ahead and drive 60 miles to commute. I mean, essentially what happens is that you have it to where the vast majority of the few remaining workers can't afford the luxury of living nice with niggers. And as a result, I mean...
Yeah, there was a thing on the news. I heard on the news here a week or two ago that Americans in the last 4 years have lost 40% of their wealth.
Yeah, 40% of their wealth, or 39.8 or some such thing here. 40% of their so-called wealth here. And this is middle-class wiggers. You know what I mean? Middle-class wiggers. And essentially, Hunter Wallace, or Fade the Butcher, however you want to call him, has pointed out that under Obongo, that the, you know, the money spent on EBT or food, what used to be called food stamps, has doubled. Has essentially doubled. And what you see is you see more and more and more of these little food banks. You see a lot more of these little other sort of things, and what they're doing is they're giving out of date, canned goods and old bread here that you didn't used to see unless you went down to the Salvation Army to eat. Now, I've had some friends who ate at the Salvation Army, and occasionally I'd go down there and eat with them here. I usually give $2 here. You know, I'd go ahead and stuff $2 in their little collection. You know, as I looked at here, well, I'm eating about a $3 meal. I'm giving them $2 for something they probably paid 50 cents to go ahead and eat. And
you go to like churches and stuff?
Huh?
You go to, like, churches and eat and stuff?
No, what happens is that at Joplin here, this is when my friend lived in Joplin here, there was two places here. One we called the Yacht Club. The reason we called it the Yacht Club here was the name of it was Souls Harbor. Get it? Yacht Club. We'll go down to the Yacht Club and eat, and then we'll go down to Sally Mae, Salvation Army. So essentially what happens is that... What happens, I'd go ahead and visit him. He'd almost never go ahead and spend money on food. He was, I told him he'd make a wonderful Phineas Priest assassin because essentially he was, when I first met him, he was in his late 50s, his 60s. Now I think he's 74, 75. And essentially, was he born in 1935 or so? I mean, and what happens is that you go ahead, he's a face you can just forget because he looks like everybody. He's about, what, 5'6" or 7"? You know, he's just average height, average face, average white guy. I mean, essentially, you know, I mean, the only thing that sticks out is he has, you know, he's a chiropractor, he has a little bit cultured voice. I said, you would make a perfect assassin because essentially everybody go ahead and look at you and forget, you know, they've seen you here. Me, I make a bad one. Not because, you know, not because of inclination, because, hey, I'm 6'2", you know, 200-some pounds, and, well, now with half a beard, why,
Yeah.
I sort of make an appearance here where I go, and yeah, but in any case, this guy would go ahead and eat there, and generally it wasn't that bad food. But nowadays, you see far more of these food pantries. You see far more of these places being set up, to where it used to be you just went to a certain place, and essentially now you end up having quite a bit of it going on.
Yeah, I see a lot in my area as well.
Yeah, well, you live in Ohio or something like that, right?
Alabama.
Alabama, okay. Well, you have it you have it all over the place. The average white person, the average non-white person, the average, essentially, niggers have never had anything usually more than, didn't have a pot to piss in and wind to throw it out of. So essentially, they're living off whatever the hell they get here. But it's white people who are really hurting quite a bit. And, and essentially, I've gone ahead and I've studied revolutions. I'm sort of pleased because as I look at, there's a lot of social combustion, and it's just waiting to go ahead and flare up here. I mean, you'd have people like Gustave Le Bon, who in 1895 wrote about the madness of the crowds here. He was the first crowd psychologist. And Lenin said that his book was second only to Das Kapital. But essentially, Gustave Le Bon was not a left-winger. He was definitely a right-winger. And essentially, his idea to dealing with unrest was just simply machine gun them all down. But in any case, what you have more and more and more. You have more and more old desperation and hatred and all that sort of thing. And generally, as I look at it, my job is just to go ahead and just sort of flick a match onto all the, pour a little gasoline and flick on a little match here. And, pretty well, I mean, I make it quite clear that my job is to somehow light a spark to where essentially there's not going to be any going back. And pretty well it unnerves a lot of people, hearing me say something like that.
Yeah. Well, the churches aren't doing very well. They're all becoming wiggerized. And I call them wigger churches for most of them. We got a few of them around here that they just serve the wigger and all this stuff. They don't preach any truth or anything. They have giveaways, and they want to make you feel good kind of a thing.
Well, they never did. They never were anything other than bail churches. They never were anything other than what they are.
Yeah.
I mean, I've gone ahead and I've listened to, I went to Joplin today and nearly bought me another Toshiba or something like that.
Okay,
I got to go ahead and unmute a few people here. I'll sort of just kick back. But what you end up having is that, the Roman Catholic Church was always a Mamzer Church. It was always the Baal Church Assembly. And here you have essentially Finkelschini and Eli James. I was listening to in November 10th, 2010, and old Fink was hurt because I called him a papist preterist. Well, folks, where does preterism come from? The answer is preterism comes from the belief, and it wasn't, there was no such thing as a preterist before 1615 or 1619. The whole purpose of the preterist, the preterism was it was brought together by these Jesuits as part of the Counter-Reformation. Essentially, Martin Luther's 95 theses, 1515? Something like that here. Essentially, here's 1615, 100 years later, the Counter-Reformation. The evil papist empire tries to go ahead and strike back, and essentially what they do is they get into something called the 30 Years' War. And I tell people it wasn't love of people having something to fix. essentially with people like my ancestors, the Winsteads and the Schmidts and, you know, the Svensons and all that, who under Gustavus Adolphus, if they seen a Roman Catholic priest or a Roman Catholic believer, would go ahead and piss and shit in a tin bucket, boil it up, funnel it down, say, okay, you papist cocksucker, let's see if you're going to go ahead and turn good Swedish Lutheran piss and shit into, you know, into the body and blood of Christ here, you know. If your faith is good enough, why, you'll be able to transfer it, no problem. Well, most of them didn't make it here. And after, you know, after the Treaty of Westphalia in 1649, a lot of people, including this Jew, you know, Martin van Creveld, goes ahead and says that this was the basis of what we have, to where essentially you had freedom of religion, not because, you know, people turned good. It's just because they've seen what happened in Germany, where two-thirds of the population was slaughtered by being the battleground between the Austrians, the Spanish, the Swedes, the Danes, you know. I mean, pretty well every, the French, I mean, everybody got involved and essentially turned Germany into a charnel house. And there wasn't very, you know, I would say the best thing was this old movie called The Last Valley. It had Richard Chamberlain, it had Omar Sharif, it had, you know, it was a pretty interesting little movie about the bloodshed and just sheer bloody-mindedness during the 30 Years of War. And, no, it's that sort of thing which goes ahead and makes people, quote, civilized. I mean, consequence. Not, you know, if you believe that people are good and, you know, something like that, why, you know, there's a few people who are saints here. But most people are just, well, most people are misbegotten here. Essentially, you have fewer and fewer Uyghurs, and you have more and more Mamzers who, in this movement, pretend to be white and are not. And in many cases, well, that's why I go out on Genesis 3:15, you know, patrol here. I was, you know, but anyway, would you want to go ahead and hang on for a few minutes, and then, you know, looks like Russ, go ahead and do that.
I'm going to get off here. I've got to get up early for work and stuff. It's
okay.
Good calling in. I'm probably going to skip the News Guy show this week. I've been getting tired, and I've got church early on Sunday and all this and that, and I've just been sleeping halfway through.
The reason I got annoyed at the News Guy show here is that he went ahead, essentially, and got Chris Drake as soon as he could. And then Chris Drake is saying wonderful things about J.T. Reddy. And essentially, J.T. Reddy, to me, was just a very lying, probable Jew boy who was a worthless piece of shit. He went ahead and, you know, there were two people who were not at all surprised. One was this guy named Rocky Sadea, who doesn't like the, you know, the NSM. The other was me. And essentially, I said, well, he's just a murderous Jew boy piece of shit. And by the way, when he went ahead and called, guest number 30 was none other than Mike Blevins, whining like a pussy that I had gone ahead and openly laughed when I heard that J.T. Reddy had shot a 15-month-old little, you know, beaner piece of shit, you know, baby piece of beaner shit in the head. And, you know, look, Mike Blevins, one time you pretend to be Christian identity. I'm glad you no longer pretend to be Christian identity. I think you're a Jew, Mike Blevins. But in any case, you know, if you're going to expect me to go ahead and go boo-hoo-hoo over some little baby beaner, you know, getting hit in the head, you know, shot in the head or the face by some piece of shit like J.T. Reddy, well, you're just barking up the wrong tree. And Blevins, he whined, he pissed, and he bitched, and he moaned. And essentially, I went ahead and called up, you know, Chris Drake, and I didn't know you were that mad at him. And essentially, I got Chris Drake. We went in for about 4 hours. We went ahead and covered everything. We covered essentially his relationship with J.T. Reddy, with Bill White, his book. I mean, essentially, I just pretty well covered and let Chris Drake pretty well talk as much as he wanted to. And essentially what boiled down to is that, hey, J.T. Reddy, you know, J.T. Reddy did go ahead and, you know, did go ahead and chip out and, you know, shot all these people here. And I'm not sorry about him shooting people. I just wish he'd go ahead and take a few pages with them before turning the gun on himself here. But,
yeah.
No, I mean, news guy will go ahead and get these characters here, and I'll see them over at Finkelstein. Go ahead and tell everybody that I'm a Jew and I'm a child molester, all this sort of thing. And essentially, Newscott goes ahead and shows his snout every so often here. And then what happens is that, well, just like last week, he went ahead and just pussied out here. And essentially, I'll just sort of list, usually what I do is I'll go ahead and, Saturday night, okay, it's a question here as to whether or not I'm going to troll Finkelstein or I'm going to go ahead and troll Elier. Last weekend I was trolling Elier, even though Finkelstein had Brian Rio on. And I think the reason I had it is that here was Elier going ahead and shitting against Finkelstein. Didn't bother me, but here he is, being a so-called Christian identity minister and then, talking this papist prayerist horseshit, but also going ahead and talking, him and Saint. They're both Universalist, Marino. I think they're both, they're both Jews here. I think they're both Marino Jews. They're both Universalists because they believe that non-whites and Jews and the rest have souls. Fink believes that, Fink and Emheiser believes they're going to be resurrected up and then all burnt in hell. Eli James believes they're all going to be resurrected, and if they're good, they're real nice little Jew boys, they're real nice little mamzers. Essentially, what happens, they're going to go ahead and pick our virtual cotton and serve us virtual mint juleps in the next, upon judgment day. And that's not Christian identity. I mean, essentially, they don't have souls, therefore, there's not been to resurrect, therefore, they're not under law, they're not going to be judged. And I just went ahead and made a joke about how if I had a mechanical, cotton picker that go ahead and pick more cotton than 300 niggers, I'd go ahead and put a refrigerator unit on the back of it and go ahead and make me ice and mint juleps too here along with picking my cotton better than any nigger could. I mean, is it going to be resurrected? Is it going to be resurrected and cast in the lake of fire here? Or is it going to go ahead and be, essentially be in the next world and go ahead and pick my cotton and do the mint juleps? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's not Christian identity, and both these clowns are pretending, both these Jew boy clowns are pretending to be Christian identity when it's not even Christian identity. And, so anyway, I was trolling Finkelstein.
Anyway, another funny thing is that, I don't know if you just watch, the TV show MASH. Have you used to watch that show?
Well, I used to on occasion, yeah.
Yeah, the first couple of seasons they had a black guy on there. They nicknamed him Spear Chucker.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, see, what happens is that the original book was written by a main surgeon here. And essentially, that was, he went ahead and sold the rights. It was a movie in the 1970s, a fairly popular one, and then became a TV series.
Yeah, and I've heard about the book. I've never got the book.
Essentially, what happens is that I remember reading in Time magazine that the original doctor essentially he was anything but a liberal. And he didn't like Alan Alda here being sort of like a little, a little feminist pussy here going ahead essentially playing him. You know what I mean?
I know that Alan Alda is a liberal actor and all, but you have to kind of like their humor on the show and everything. Him and that Frank Burns get at it all the time and all that's kind of funny.
Well, yes, but what happens is that the actual author was more like Frank Burns than he was like, Alan Alda. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As far as politics was, now he wasn't, he was from Maine, so he wasn't make these niggers work here. I mean, he would have been a northern Democrat, so to speak, here. But, from what I got read in Time, he didn't much care for the movie, but the actual TV show, I wish I wouldn't have ever sold the rights to, I wish I had never sold the rights to these people here. You know what I mean? It's pretty well what he was saying here. I mean, he had enough money. He'd written a book about what he's seen here. And, when you're in the Army or something like that, you'll either be really close to somebody or you'll just hate their freaking guts here. And for all practical purposes, whites stick with whites in the Army, and blacks stick with blacks, and we used to bitch at Krellsheim to where essentially at the NCO club, they go ahead and play the nigger music on certain nights here, and then they go ahead and play country and western most of the nights here. And essentially, other than this NCO sergeant who thought he was nigger cowboy here, most of the niggers wouldn't show up at, you know, drink at the NCO club, you know, during country and western. And essentially, most of the white guys, well, they go to the, you know, they go to the other one called the Krellsheim Rod and Gun, which I used to call the, you know, the bottle and bottle or something like that here. And they'd be there during nigger music night. And you'd have the, you'd have what I call the drunken lifer corps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, like we would say, is that lifers stands for lazy, ignorant fuckers expecting retirement soon. And, you know, so those are our dislikes here. But, no, I mean, you know, and generally if you go ahead, and I need to go ahead and write some of the stuff about what I see at the Nut House, because, shoot, people will not believe it. I'm going to go ahead and tell about what I pretty well told my worthless brother and his bitch wife in a little bit. I mean, essentially, it's not really his wife, it's his girlfriend. She called me a child molester, and I went ahead and said, "No, you know," I said, you dumb shit. You're hearing from her. She knows what the truth is, but you're hearing from her. But you may, if you get unlucky, or you hang around, you know, this bitch long enough, you're going to go ahead and hear from her, and you're going to go ahead and be sent to jail. You know, you're going to be, you need to go ahead and ditch this bitch. And so what happens is that she didn't like what I went ahead and said, so she made him go ahead and get us. I said, yep, big look, you should know better. You should know better than go ahead and talk to me while the bitch is around. You know what I mean? And he went ahead and, took her and, Pig-Oak, I call him Pig-Oak's, baby Pig-Oak, Pig-Oak's bitch and Pig-Oak, went down there and Pig-Oak, he came up by himself here and he wanted to talk to me about something here. I went ahead and told him. Anyway, we'll go ahead and take a break. I'm going to go ahead and let you go.
Yeah, one
go
more
ahead
thing
and tell a story.
One more thing here I'll share with you before I go. Roger Wiseman always used to tease me, and he used to say I looked like resembled the actor William Conrad.
William Conrad's a rather handsome man, though.
Yeah, I know. That's why I always tell it. I like that detective show he used to do in the 70s called Cannon, and he did a couple other ones, and he...
Cannon was the fat one. I'm thinking you're talking about Wild Wild West, though.
Well, yeah,
he's Cannon. Is that Robert Conrad here?
That's William Conrad.
Oh, well, he's the fat one, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We used to call a real fat cop here. We used to call one of them Kojak. He was bald, and we called the fat one.
Yeah, Tully Savalas.
To what?
That's Tully Savalas.
Yeah. Well, he was a Greek. He was, he was just an Anglo mestizo. But
I like Detective Show. That's pretty good.
Okay. Well, this was just a name here. He called the fat one Cannon, and we called the one who shaved his head before it became cool among pigs. We called him Kojak or something like that here. So
yeah.
But anyway, anything else, Lloyd?
Well, not much. I probably won't be able to call into the News Guy show. I think I'm just going to take a break for a couple of weeks. The News Guy show is going to keep me up late on Saturday night. And everything, and I just need to get a little rest, so I'll let you go, and you have a good week.
Okay, well, hail victory, then.
All right.
All righty. Okay, folks, we're going to go ahead and take about a two-minute break. I'll go ahead and save the chat, and I'll give talk to you, because essentially I'm going to go ahead and save, I'm going to go ahead and resurrect this by, the talk to you. So, folks, we're going to take about a two-minute or three-minute break. Hail victory, folks.
Roland was a warrior, from the land of the midnight sun. With a Thompson gun for hire, fighting to be done. The deal was made in Denmark on a dark and stormy day. So he set out for Biafra to join the bloody fray. Through 66 and 7, they fought the Congo War with their fingers on their triggers, knee-deep in gore. Days and nights they battled the Bantu to their knees. They killed to earn their living and to help out the Congolese. Roland the Thompson Gunner, Roland the Thompson Gunner. His comrades fought beside him, Van Owen and the rest. But of all the Thompson gunners, Roland was the best. So the CIA decided they wanted Roland dead. That son of a bitch Van Owen blew off Roland's head. Roland the headless Thompson gunner, they can still see his headless body stalking through the night in the muzzle flash of Roland's Thompson gun. In the muzzle flash of Roland's Thompson gun. Roland searched the continent for the man who done him in. He found him in Mombasa in a ballroom drinking gin. Roland aimed his Thompson gun. He didn't say a word, but he blew Van Owen's body from there to Johannesburg. Roland the headless Thompson gunner, Roland the headless Thompson gunner, Roland the headless Thompson gunner, talking about the man. Roland the headless Thompson gunner, the eternal Thompson gunner, still wandering through the night. Now it's 10 years later, but it still keeps up the fight. In Ireland, in Lebanon, in Palestine, in Berkeley, Paddy Hearst heard the burst of Roland's Thompson gun and bought it.
Okay, folks, we're back. Let me see. Yep, got the thing running. I was looking at guest number 6 is a pisser possum. And by the way, old Pootie is not a spammer. Definitely a Nimtard troll, but not a spammer. Okay? Okay, folks. Let me just tell you about my brother. You know, my brother is big fat bitch, Crystal. And baby piglet, who's what? Oh, 3 years or so old. Essentially, you know, baby piglet is blonde, blue-eyed, cute little, you know, cute little critter. You know, and old Crystal, she's not really bad-looking face. She has a real small head, and she used to have football linebacker shoulders. And now she's pretty fat. I called her a Matt Rabbit Hippo about a month or two ago. She was sort of, you know, see, she hates my guts. You know, of course, I don't like her. My mom does not like her. And pretty well, I remember when I was in Nut House, I used to ask my friend about, you know, what's she like? And she said, oh, she's a bitch on wheels. Essentially, she sort of filled out, and I called her a mad hippo a couple months ago. About 3 days ago, here he is in his SUV here that looks very nice here. He paid a bunch of money more than Linstead had ever paid for a car for a long, 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 long time. It wasn't new, but essentially paid, I think, $2,800 for a vehicle. Now, generally, I think the most I've ever paid for a vehicle is around, I might have paid $800, but I think $600 is usually the average here. $500, sometimes $300 for the Geo Metro I bought at the junkyard. anyway, so here he was, essentially it was Piglet. I call him Piglet because essentially what he does is he has a big old hooked nose, but it's not like a Jew nose. He had a hair lip when he was young. So what happens as a result, he has a hooked nose here. And I remember way back when I was a kid, they had this series, this American history series called Singing Wheels, about what it was like to live in a town called Hastings out on the American frontier, and essentially they'd have Tom Hastings the 5th or 6th here, and they'd go ahead essentially more like maybe the 1830s or 40s or whatever here, and they'd go ahead and they'd be the town fathers. And one of the things they had was people used to let their pigs run wild here, so they had a little thing here which would go ahead and act like a hook with a little rope connected to it. You go ahead and catch your free-range hog and then go ahead and cut his throat, and render him down in November here. Which, generally, the Linsteads and the Schmitz and essentially I've told about pig raising out on the Lone Prairie when it's not really corn land here, but essentially the pigs were not free-range in South Dakota. At least not on the Lone Prairie they weren't. These English people called Hapneys would, have some extra brood sows, and we'd get the runts, and the runts, we'd get about maybe 6 pigs, and essentially we'd go ahead and give them, the Hapneys, back 2 pigs, and essentially what we do is we take corn or barley or slop or skim milk here from the cream or something like that and feed the pigs, and then come November, when it got cold, the second or third weekend in November when it was starting to get definitely frost every night, then you would go ahead and slit the, go ahead and butcher out a pig a day and then render it down for lard, go ahead and, we lived 33 miles east of Pier, and 17 miles south of Harold, so yeah, we ate quite a bit of, not a lot of pork. We usually eat more beef, because essentially it was beef country here, but says, but then again, you have pigs, and essentially, we go ahead and raise pigs, and how did I get onto that? Anyway, call them Piglet. Anyway, here comes Piglet. Piglet's bitch is sitting beside him here. He goes ahead, he stops while I'm looking at my garden, and I got this, the Jeep and Glob that Roxy takes here. He says, "What is that, a porno magazine?" I said, "Yep, got one, get one every day here." So he didn't know what to say to that here. So he goes ahead, he starts sniveling or something like that. And essentially, old Crystal, Crystal, she gets annoyed here. So I just say, are you sure you ought to be talking to me here? I mean, you were telling me about 3 months ago about how your hippopotamus goes ahead and hits you in the face an average of once every 2 weeks. You're too big of a pussy because you're scared of the pigs, to beat her fat ass. And she says, "Do we got to talk to that child molester?" And I tell him, I said, "Piglet, she knows what the truth is, but essentially she hates me and I hate her, which is no big deal. But Piglet, you will all go ahead and listen to Roxy's brother Ralph here and ditch this bitch here. Go ahead and just simply pay $150 or $200 a month for shooting a good wad and essentially run out of South Dakota and leave this bitch behind, you know what I mean? And what happens, you sign over the half of the trailer that you own to me, I'll just go ahead and set this bitch on, down the road or whatever here. You can go ahead and go up South Dakota." Well, what happens, she's getting agitated. I said, well, you better, you know, you ought to go ahead and talk to me here while the bitch is there, because, oh, about, oh, 3 months ago, you know, he called me on his cell phone, and I heard, you're talking to him? You're talking to him? And I was tempted to say, hold her off, Pinnock! I'll call 911! And then the next day he calls me, I know you're gloating about this here. I said, oh yeah, as a matter of fact I was. I was hilarious. But she only hits me in the face and averaged once every, you know, once every 2 weeks. I said, I didn't know that. Also laughing like the time here at JT Reddy shot that little, you know, 15-month-old beater, you know, in the head. I guess I just have a mean sense of humor. But anyway, what happened is he came back up here, and I said, listen, you know, I mean, you know, you really oughtn't to talk to me when the bitch is around, because essentially, I hate her. Our mother hates the bitch here, says she's a gold digger. I mean, what happens is that you don't want to be like this one guy I knew at the Nut House. You know, his name was, what the hell was his name here? Dave, I think his name was. What happens, he lived in Jeff City about 30 miles down the road from Fulton. And what happens, he was a mechanic. He had a bitch wife. You know, he had a little kid about 10 years old they loved. And essentially, what happens is that, I guess she wasn't he wasn't making enough to satisfy his bitch. And essentially, she told him that she was going to go ahead and get a divorce. She wanted a divorce, and she was going to call him a child molester unless, you know, he got the kid and paid out the ass. He didn't know what to do. And eventually what he did is he just simply did it the old-fashioned way. I don't know if he had a little bit of Anglo-Mesese or if he was a pure-blooded Whigger or not. He was a real nice guy, though. But what he did, well, real nice guy. Sort of like the nigger who went ahead and sodomized his niece, you know, killed her. Ate bits and pieces of her. Other than that, he was a pretty nice nigger. But he was a nice guy. But what he did is he went ahead and he freaked out. I'm going to go ahead and plug in my cell phone. He went ahead and freaked out. Shot the bitch. Shot the 10-year-old kid in the head. Shot the bitch in the head. And then he went ahead and was going to go ahead and suck down on the 38. And then he just pussied out on it. You know, and people said, oh, he didn't have the balls to do it. I said, well, could have been better. He could have gone ahead and, unlike JT Reddy, could have gone ahead and killed him a few pigs or two here. And maybe the rest of the bitches were in-laws here. That would have been better here where, you know, I mean, shoot. I mean, it'll hurt a lot more here if you have, you know, pigs going ahead and filling you full of lead till your dick is like a pencil here. It'll hurt a lot more here rather than just go ahead and shoot yourself, but essentially you'll be viewed as a lot better if you go ahead and shoot a bunch of pigs here before you go here. Anyway, I said, well, but never mind here. What happens is that, oh, they sent him for a 96-hour evaluation. And it turned from 96 hours to essentially about 3 months. You know, that's just the way it was. He was a real nice guy, though. And essentially, they want someone who really, unlike most of the time being 60% nigger, they want essentially a white wigger here, you know, nice, nonviolent wigger. He would go ahead, essentially be stupid enough to get close to niggers here, would go ahead and assault them. Usually a nigger would be, look at me, you know, and if he looked at me like a gorilla for 2 or 3 days, I was in trouble here. The nigger was going to go ahead and eventually assault me, but not too hard here because he's scared that I'm a Klansman and that Aryan Nation is going to go ahead and, you know, have the nigger and the nigger family killed here because I'm a maniac racist here. So he was a nice guy here, just like a lot of nice wiggers here. Essentially, he'd go ahead and let niggers, you know, assault him every so often here, not because he was bad, but anyway, every night, what happens at this particular unit, they'd go ahead and lock us up at 9 o'clock unless you were level 3, in which case you get to stay up an extra hour. And what happens is I'd go ahead and go in and read my books. And basically around, oh, sometime after, usually 10:30 or 11, I'd hear poor old Dave crying. I just hear him crying and crying and crying. I mean, you know, you go ahead and hear somebody just crying, you know. I mean, you sort of feel sort of bad here, but he'd cry every night. He'd cry and cry and cry. Not over the bench, but he'd cry, you know, he'd cry over killing this 10-year-old kid here. And I said, so Pigook, what happens is just a matter of time before this bitch goes ahead and goes off on you. You know he ain't loved in Newton County. You know he ain't loved in Newton County by these Republican cocksuckers here. I mean, essentially, if they go ahead and say they had a Lindstedt, he was another child molester here, essentially you can go to prison here and, you know, well, you're, what, 3 foot, you know, you're 6 foot four, weigh 350 some pounds here. You know, you could go ahead and go up to South Dakota and start digging grave with a spoon. You need to go ahead and ditch that bitch here. You really do. And essentially, just go ahead and eat it up here. And, you'll do that. I said, well, you might wish you had. But folks, that's the way Uyghurs are. What happens is that they love evil. They love going ahead, essentially, and use, be it dope or allegations of child molestation or something like that, to go ahead and screw people over. Screw anybody who's against the system here. Now, when they come across someone like me who says, well, hey, you know, I mean, pig, don't even think. Don't even think I won't go ahead and skin your kid and make you watch. Don't even think you're going to go ahead and, I mean, essentially, I'm looking forward to you dying slowly, pig. I don't really care how long it goes ahead and takes, but most Uyghurs will go ahead and turn on other Uyghurs. That's why you got to understand who you're with. You got to go ahead and understand who you're with. I was talking to this one guy here. He was over at about two Harold Covington shows ago. You had this character called Rudell. And since I chewed on his ass, you had these idiots who, oh, Christian identity is idiotic and this Lindstedt's a maniac. And essentially, Covington or one of his friends went ahead and censored, you know, my ass chewing post to it. And, what the hell. I have better things to do than worry about it. But, folks, you will have these characters. They will creep in and they will pretend to be this or that. And you've got to understand who you're with. The vast majority, 90% of Uyghurs, are absolute worthless waste of Uyghur skin. There's nothing, you know, I mean, they can be genetically okay, but their head is just filled with shit. You know, my brother's head is full of shit. He's not able to go ahead and see. He's not able to go ahead and see what's going on. Now, yes, he has a fat woman, so do I here. I guess that's one of the benefits of being extra endowed here. So, but in any case, I guess you can go ahead and make extra use of the fatties. But on the other hand here, what happens is that of Roxy's family here, you know, a bunch of Uyghurs, a bunch of worthless Uyghurs, why Roxy is the pick of the litter. You know what I mean? As far at least as emotional stability is concerned here. Now, she annoyed me the other day because I rented out this house to her Anglo-Mestizo niece and her new husband. And what happens is that they had agreed, well, yes, we're going to go ahead and trim some of these trees here. And we'll go ahead, and I told them they can go ahead and cut down the maple saplings. They're not sugar maples, but to leave the walnuts alone. And what these maniacs do is that the other day, I loan them a chainsaw. And they just cut every single freaking tree in the front yard, except for one maple sapling that was left. Cut down 3, 5 to 7, you know, 8-year-old walnut trees. And they cut down a 43-year-old cedar tree and claim this rotten inside. And essentially, here are these idiots. In the space of 4 hours, they just go nuts with chainsaw and essentially cut down what was supposed to be a privacy hedge of screening trees. And all I can think of is the reason, you know, this person went ahead, the one who was smarter, went ahead and cut it, is that essentially she owes money on a car, and she just simply didn't want to go ahead and walk it next time, so she wanted to be able to park it where she could see it, and she couldn't do it as long as the cedar tree was there, because you're scared somebody come sneak by and repossess the thing. So essentially, I end up losing a 43-year-old cedar tree that was a beautiful cedar tree that needed trimming because she wants to go ahead and park it where she can keep an eye on it. And essentially they did, about $300 or $400 worth of damage as far as I am concerned to the place. And then essentially lied about, it was rotten inside. No, it ain't. Look at it. I don't know the difference between an elm tree and a walnut tree. I said, well, you said you did. Now you don't. Essentially, they just went with their little Anglo-Mestizo inclinations and made the place look like a desert, where it used to look like a forest. Okay? So in any case here, make Puppy Dog talk to us. Well, Puppy Dog, he is sitting in there. Folks, we're talking about Belzebub. Belzebub will go ahead. You can go ahead and give him a bath. Little bastard had a bath, had a flea bath, a Zyklon B flea bath 4 days ago. The other day, Roxy was putting a new collar on him. His mouth got all wet because he was scared here that he was going to get another Zyklon B flea bath. But what he'll do is you'll go ahead and give him a flea bath. You'll go ahead and kill 66.6 fleas. Next day, he'll itch a little. They'll itch more, and then what? Within a week, you'll go ahead and have fleas jumping on you. I'll be reading the Kindle in bed. The fleas like the light here. I'll be scrunching fleas against the screen of the Kindle. And what he'll do is, a wigger with stupid notions is like Poopy Dog or Belzebub with fleas. He will crawl underneath the waterbed and pick up flea deposit. He banks his fleas underneath the waterbed. He'll crawl underneath there. And next day he'll have a whole breeding colony of new fleas. He's back! I'm back! It's sort of like the South Park episode I see at the Nut House, where about pubic light or something like that. One of the crabs looks like Dick Cheney here, and essentially they had a little crab civil war, and they were talking about stuff here. Essentially, it gets carried by a housefly here to where there's pubic lice all over the place here and will never be dipped again here. And you go ahead and look, and it's on Angela Jolie's pussy here. Anyway, why is Marty telling this crap? Well, hey, open gender better, why are you listening to it? Okay? So, in any case, why am I telling you this crap? I want you to go ahead and know that even the best family, I can't blame Pig Hook's behavior on Jews. Can't blame it on Jews. Can't blame it on the Anglo-Mestizos that live around here. Can't go ahead and blame it on niggers. Can't blame it on Puerto Ricans or Beaners or anything like that here. I mean, my brother is 100% Wigger. And he will have a danger. He will have a danger. It may just be a matter of time. He's gone ahead. Essentially, here he is telling me a couple months ago that she only hits me in the face and average once every 2 weeks. Why don't you slap the shit out of that bitch and teach her not to do that? So, what? You're arrested. Sweetie Pie will send the cops on me. Then why are you hanging around Sweetie Pie? And now the story is, well, she ain't done that for a couple months now. Really? That ain't what you told me a couple months ago when I heard about it. She hasn't changed. She's an evil bitch. She's an evil sow. Baby pigger, handsome little wigger kid. What happens, I was up at the Dollar General store in Granby. And essentially, Baby Pigok wanted something, and he threw a ring-tailed fit. From what I gather, Baby Pigok is not well-trained here. Okay? In any case, folks, oh, heck, I'm looking and seeing, what the heck. Alrighty, well, I lost connection to the server. Yes, I'd like to reconnect. Yes, I would like to reconnect here. Even Marty's family thinks he's a molester. Well, no. You know, Peyok's bitch knows better. Peyok's bitch wants to go ahead and say it because she's evil. You know what I mean? Okay. So, I'm back here. Let me see. I'm not sure how long I was gone here. Let's see. This system is crazy. Well, guest number 6, you're a pisser possum. Of course it's crazy. What do you expect with mamsers? What do you expect with pisser possums? Truth? Justice? The American way? We're just going to go ahead and, folks, this is not really, you know, other than, what, Hal Turner being a halfway house. Well, folks, if he only got, what, 3 years, eventually he would go ahead and be in a halfway house. Unlike old bitch tits Bill White. Where am I at? 954. Okay, well, I've been pretty well gone for a little while here. You know what I mean? Okay. Folks, my family doesn't think I'm a molester. Of course, one time I went down to get the mail. I was on Skype. Pastor John Britton and another friend of mine on Skype were talking. And they both think I'm a maniac. They both think that I want to kill everybody. And the thing about it is, though, is that I just went ahead and sort of listened here. Then I went up to Raby's and, you know, went ahead and, you know, bought some stuff at the Raby's here. They went down and they were no longer talking. You know, I guess the subject went back to what a maniac I was. Because none of my friends or family. You know, my nephew. Oh, Martin wouldn't molest, you know, his grandkids. He loves his grandkids, you know. I mean, I've always thought what he's likely to do is blow up a police station or something. I mean, nobody thinks I'm a molester. They all think I'm a sociopath. He likes killing people. And what can I say here? I mean, open gender better, guest number 6. Why do you think I leave your horse shit about how I want to go ahead and skin alive the spawn of pigs and run them through a meat grinder? I mean, ain't like I can go ahead and call you a liar. I go ahead and leave that stupid shit up because essentially you're telling me what I want heard. You know what I mean? So, folks, none of my that bitch, she doesn't think I'm a child molester. What I was trying to tell Piglet is that she doesn't have any problem. She's a lying, evil bitch. You don't have a problem. She does not have a problem with destroying your life or my life or anybody's life here. She's just an evil bitch. And you need to get yourself free here. You know, 50 ways to leave your lover, Piglet. You know, but the easiest way to do is just listen to Roxy's brother Ralph and just simply say, hey, bitch, I'm tired of your shit. I don't have a job. So essentially what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and show up and I'm going to go ahead and pay a lawyer. Essentially we're going to just go ahead and pay the Missouri court thing here for one child. And essentially I'm going to get myself free. I'm going to go ahead and get myself free. Yes, I'll go ahead and get to see the kids. And tell you what, bitch. You know, I only have the trailer house here. I'll go ahead and give it to Martin. Martin will make you behave. Won't Martin ever. You know what I mean? So, and what happens is that, you know, here's the bitch. She's going ahead and call me a child molester, you know, because she hates me. And essentially, I'm just simply saying this, you know, shit, this is the bitch you're with here. She not only goes ahead and hits you an average of once every 2 weeks in the face, which means that, you know, you could go ahead and get your ass beat in one day here, you know, twice. Or And what happens is that she doesn't have any problem with lying. She doesn't have any problem with going ahead and, you know, raising up bogus child molestation cases here. See, she can't go ahead and bring that up against me. I don't have any kids left here. But, you know, who could she go ahead and raise a bogus child molestation case against? Pagook, could be you. And what happens is that, you know, here I am. I mean, essentially, I'm telling what his, you know, best friend, your Roxy's brother, used to say, or does say. Essentially, everybody in Grammy thinks that y'all go ahead and ditch the bitch. Now, what happens is that, generally, I'll go ahead and tell policemen. I mean, you know, shit, pigs. You went ahead and destroyed my family. You went ahead and bought and sold my, you know, grandchildren like they were cattle. And essentially, I don't want your money. I want your heads and your pelts. Now, the fact of the matter is that once you've been rendered down in a wood chipper and canned and fed, you know, to other regime criminals who are blinded, killed, and whatever, and essentially you only have, what, 10 million ex-wiggers running around, you have a bunch of, you have 10,000 warlords, all hopefully believing Christian identity principles, because essentially it makes sense here. It really does here. You know what I mean? I mean, like Red Mike Vanderbilt used to say, Christian identity is for penny waste here, because essentially it goes ahead and gives permission to hate Jews and niggers and beaners and the rest and kill them all. It gives you permission to go ahead and do whatever the hell you want to people who, you know, who don't like you. Well, that does. So, in any case, Pigook, you need to go ahead and get yourself free. You can't go ahead and trust these people. You go ahead and you give them a chainsaw, they'll go ahead and cut down every fucking tree they can get a hold of here. For no other good reason than because they don't want to go ahead and walk a few extra steps around a cedar tree. They don't want to go ahead and park the nose of the car here where they can go ahead and see their repossession agent isn't taking it. So they go ahead and they call Roxy, and essentially Roxy doesn't know. She's tired. Oh, get down if it's dead inside. Well, it wasn't dead inside. She went ahead and cut down pretty well about every damn tree. Now, folks, what sort of people go ahead and cut down every single bit of vegetation, especially like that? Well, niggers do. Folks, don't believe this crap about Indians being the wonderful people, the wonderful providers of the plains here. Essentially, what they did is that they slaughtered all the megafauna. They slaughtered all the big animals. And so, as a result, there was hardly anything other than small ones to go ahead and domesticate. So what they had to do for meat was each other. That's why they went ahead and cannibalized each other here. That's why you have what happened in, you know, the Mayan times. Folks, that's why you're having what's happening now. Don't expect good, even from people who genetically are good, but who culturally have pretty well slipped, like my brother. Genetically, he's not, he's like me. Mentally, he's a fucking wigger. Fucking wigger with his head chopped off, running back to and fro and all this here, waiting for either a wigger or an Anglo-Mestizo bitch to go ahead and fuck him up. What happens is that, you know, I mean, what happens is that this bitch used to work for the pigs here. Then she decided to become a gold digger. You see, the Lindsteads, back when we lived up in South Dakota, Hughes County, the saying up in Hughes County is that the grass grows best in the ditch or in Lindstead's pasture. We pretty well took care of our land. Pretty well took care of our animals. And, you know, folks, I have a bunch of relatives who I am not particularly proud of. What happens is that they should be, you know, well, hell, my family. My family will average 25 to 30 points smarter than Roxy's family. They're about what? Oh, 100 IQ, 98 IQ, 98 to about 105 IQ. Wiggers. Actually, they're more like what, you know, my grandpa Fred Lindsay called Jenny Irish. They're not green Irish, not hybrid niggers, they're Ulstermen. And Strathcliders or whatever here. Roxy's bunch, you know, looks Scots Irish, i.e. Ulstermen. Orange Irish. Of course, you know, Roxy, she's been around where she thinks she's hybrid nigger Irish. But anyway, you know, she doesn't much care for me talking about hybrid niggers, but she's asleep right now. Anyway, so where was I? But folks, you have Whiggers in this movement. You end up having them all believing that we're all going to work together. When you go ahead and on a blog, you will have these tards looking down. Oh, Billy or P. Oliver, he didn't like Christian Identity. He thought it was ridiculous. Well, guess what? You know, Oliver went ahead and shot himself when he got old. Oliver, why, I went ahead and read all his essays. They were very smart. The problem is, though, that with all intellectuals, all it is just masturbation. Look how smart I am. Look at me. How smart I am. Okay? In any case here, I'm looking at this here. Anyway, where am I at here? Okay, well, I don't know what you missed here. What I have done, Three Nipples McGee, is that on the last, about 8 or 9 podcasts, I have them all up. All the old ones up here. Actually, some of the other ones, like Newskike and a few others, I've gone ahead and put up too here. I've gotten the Movement Turd pretty well archived up here. You can go ahead and find it over on whitenationalist.org/swarm. Under the Movement Turd. Okay? And what I'll do is I'll go ahead and add some music, and I'll do a number of other things here. In any case, though, folks, if you live, you're going to go ahead, well, it says in the Bible, even the wife of your bosom will sometimes often call you a fool. You can't always rely on even your relatives if they're Whiggers. Much less somebody who essentially has the Genesis 3:15 predilection to hating you. I was going over to the Mamzer barrel and seeing Liar Bill the Clueless. Liar Bill the Clueless thinks that he, you know, pretends he's been talking to my mother, talking to my father, talking to about everybody. And essentially, this character comes up with delusional lies, and I think people figure out that he's just pulling this shit out of his ass. But my point, what I'm trying to point out to you, is that you can't trust anyone other than Yahweh. You can't go ahead, you know, you can trust some people, but they've got to go ahead, essentially be your brethren. Like Jesus Christ said, who are my brethren? It's those who are with me who's his brethren. I remember about where, well, your brothers and your sisters are here. Who's my brethren? Well, it's those who go ahead and follow me. That's what Jesus Christ said. And those who are your brethren are not only those who are your racial brethren, but those who believe like you do. Those who have the same, well, essentially the same religious, same political beliefs here. Now, me and Pastor John Britton, one of his daughters said, I know why you know, he likes you so much, is because you're just alike. I said, no. You know, your father and I are two different men. But we end up coming to about the same conclusion because we believe in the same things. You know, I mean, you know, your father is very much different than I am. You know, he's more of a Norwegian, and I'm far more of a Swede. He's far more hot-headed. and I'm rather cold and calculating. So, in any case, though, I mean, you know, there are some people who are far more my brethren. You know, I understand my brother quite well here. I mean, shoot, he's 15 months younger than me, and most people think that he's older. I mean, you know, I mean, he weighs, he went ahead and admitted he's weighing 335 pounds, which means he weighs more like 350 or 360. He's only an inch or so taller than me. He's what, 6'3", 6'3½? He might be an inch, maybe an inch and a half taller than me. And he weighs what, 100 pounds more than me. He's just gotten fat. And I told him, I said, look, why don't you go up South Dakota and ditch this bitch? She's not going to go ahead and squeeze out another one for you. Why don't you just go ahead and ditch this bitch and go ahead and find you a farm girl, you know, Swedish farm girl, big tits, and go ahead and plow a new crop up in South Dakota. Why don't you do that? Why don't you just simply ditch this bitch before she goes ahead? Essentially, I told her, I said, it's a hell of a deal to be stealing from your mother and trying to steal from your brother, because when you go ahead and if you did manage to go and steal from your mother and you did try to go ahead essentially and neutralize your brother, all that's going to mean is the bitch is going to go ahead and steal it from you, you idiot. And she'll end up having pig's help. Folks, Zog is out to destroy the white race because Zog is under Satan's administration. Why do you think you end up having this child support, which is so high, to where, and what Logan was telling about, you know, essentially where, oh, this bitch will go ahead and have one kid, maybe two, and then have hubby paying out the ass while she goes ahead, essentially gets her tubes tied, and starts fucking the nigger or the Puerto Rican pool boy. Our race is trying to be destroyed. And when you go ahead and look at, that's exactly what's happening here. That's why I don't have any mercy to Uyghur regime criminals or Anglo-Mestizo regime criminals or Jew regime criminals. They are on the other side. They are out to destroy us. And sooner or later you figure that out, and figure out that the only thing that's going to go ahead and save the white race is letting nature take its course and letting there be a collapse. Letting there be a total collapse. That's the only thing that's going to save us. That's the only thing that's going to save the white race. And I'm not worried about the white race being saved because I'm told that there is going to be a great tribulation such as never was and never will be again. And unless Jesus Christ should return, no flesh should be saved. Jesus Christ is going to return. And, you know, the white race will be saved. But what is going to be left upon the earth is only the remnant. And that is who I'm talking to. Not you, guest number six. Yeah, you pisser possum. Not exactly you nimtards. I'm only talking to the remnant. What happens for the rest of it is sort of like Gene Scott entertainment for the rest of you. But for those who, like Jesus Christ says, his sheep hear his voice. Well, folks, I'm one of his pastors. I'm one of his shepherds. And unlike the one who's going to go ahead and leave 99 sick, diseased animals to go ahead and save one stupid, diseased animal, essentially, I'm heading out with you to market. And what happens is that if every Finkelsteinite, every liar, every Dan Johns, every little lying jukel goes ahead and kills you as a diseased animal, lures you off into the wilderness of sin, and then goes ahead and eats you out from anus to gullet. That's another diseased animal that I don't have to go ahead and have blood on my hands or on my staff. Folks, if you're a diseased animal, you want to die. something within you wants to die. So you're going to go ahead and believe lies. You're going to go ahead and believe whatever the hell the jukels tell you. And so, as a result, Finkelschini, Elier, the rest of these darts, folks, they're doing my job for me. Folks, my job is not to go ahead and set out with 100 diseased, set out with 100 animals, 90 of whom are diseased. My job is to go ahead and let the 90 perish, be it jukels, be it circumstances, be it whatever. I'm not out to save you if you don't belong. I'm not out to change you. I'm not out to reform you. I'm not out to do anything. I'm out to just simply go ahead and lead you. And whether or not you see what is going ahead and whether or not you belong, if you belong, Yahweh will save you. That's why I believe in decentralizing. I go ahead, I see what happened on Covington's blog, 2 weeks ago? It's something you could go ahead and told. Tom Metzger, he wants some money here. He's going to go ahead and give half of it to Morris Dees, and he's going to give your address. So that's why he needs to go ahead and get more lone tards here. John the Nutjob, hell, John the Nutjob hasn't been dangerous. John the Nutjob is not dangerous to anybody or anything unless you are a sort of retarded Finnish kid who has overstayed his visa. That's the only people I've ever figured out that's pretty well been screwed by John the Nugent. He might go ahead and beat old Margie's ass, but essentially the only one who's ever got in trouble for hanging around John the Nutjob is some Finnish kid who overstayed his visa. Right? Okay? So anyway, folks, let me see how long I've been yakking. I'm going to go ahead and tell a few little stories about April Gady. It's been nearly a year since April Gady. And folks, I was looking on my FedBook or JewBook profile, and I come across the April Gady tardation list here. So I'll go ahead and tell about April. Look at me, April Gady here. I'll go ahead and essentially... Now, old April, she was already off the freaking reservation here. She was already going ahead and screwing Covington. Well, she wasn't screwing Covington. She was screwing over Covington. And essentially, about to go ask the ball with Hattie and Wiggerswill again. So I'll go ahead and read. My letter to April Gady and essentially April Gady's response here. And about 3 or 4 months later, she banned my ass over on Spermfront. So, folks, we'll be back in just a little bit. Hail victory! Look at me, I'm April Gady, horny as a skank can be. I'll gobble your cock if you're an Aryan rock. Sure enough, I'm April Gady. Thump it! Hey, I'm Wiggerswill. Beat my hogs like Buffalo Bill. Slap all them skanks, don't expect me no thanks. Long's I do get my fill. I don't wait, no prayer, don't delouse pubic care. I get full from one blue job. Get your mamzer paws on my silky jaws. You can't pull that crap with a net. As for you, Hal Covington, I know what you don't want done. Don't want pussy crust, I'm no object of lust. I'm just old April Gady. Calgy, Calgy, let me be. Says keep that poontang far from me. See, I cool, now I'm starting to drool. Can't forget, I'm April Gady.
Are you making fun of me, Pope Marty?
Some pistol are so fucking touchy. Yeah, old April, she knows how to go ahead and get along with us. I'll go ahead and play the real song. I'll go ahead and redo that here. Folks, I mean, April is just essentially a self-seeking, rent-seeking tard, is what she is here. And, I don't see why, everything, she has usually put her head or her twat to, has usually ended up being sort of screwed up. You know what I mean? Be it her kids, be it her activism, be it whatever. Now, last year, around this time, she had had a deal with Harold Covington to where she would promote her pioneer Little Europe, and Harold Covington would promote his Northwest Imperative, okay? No old Nuge has offended me and sort of pissed me off, and I sort of pissed off the Nuge, but the Nuge essentially is he's a wannabe politician who, well, as I said before, he's not really done any harm to anybody unless you're a sort of stupid Finnish kid who overstays his visa. I mean, folks, it's a little Finnish kid that just sort of snuck into America and essentially, you know, lived in the basement for a while. Sooner or later, they probably would have got tired. But essentially, Nugent, you know, John Nugent, not D. Nugent, I call him John the Nutjob, had to go ahead and make a big deal about how much he was doing something for old Henry Coppola. And, I mean, you know, even this Henry Coppola sort of says that Nugent was sort of taking advantage of him. Not sexually, but essentially was going ahead and making himself into a great movement leader by bringing in a Finnish kid who said something about, well, essentially sand niggers coming into Finland and screwing all these slant-eyed, ukars who were Swedish by penetration in some cases here. I like Finland. I went ahead and visited Finland in late October, early November of 1982. I really like Finland. A lot better than I like Sweden. Sweden was a communist pussy country here. Hell, my family came from Southwest Sweden. I did not like Sweden. Sweden was beautiful. Sweden was beautiful. The people were beautiful. Their heads are full of shit. Bunch of wiggers. I mean, shoot. It was just like being in a communist country here. Sweden was. I mean, I sort of think all the ones who had any get up and go got up and went to, say, South Dakota. The Norwegians, I think they're mainly in North Dakota. That's why North Dakota is sort of liberal here. Got a bunch of sneaky Norwegians running around here, at least what Fred Lindstedt said. But anyway, getting on for it here. Yeah. Any case here. Folks, I come up with that little parody song about April Getty because it really covers it. I mean, April essentially is an attention whore. What is April going ahead and solve? Now, folks, I was not being vile, like Frank Wager says, over on Stormfront. What I said over on Stormfront was, why don't you let, you know, look, don't listen to Hadding, don't listen to Wiggerswell. Why don't you just, you readers on Stormfront, why don't you decide what you want to do? Now, I'll make it clear here. I'm not moving up to the Northwest. If I move up anywhere, it'll be in South Dakota. Okay? But on the other hand, you know, I don't have a problem with young men like, say, Andy. Oh, heck. Why shouldn't he go ahead and move to, why shouldn't he move to the Northwest here? For like areas into the data processing world or something like that, why, heck? I mean, it's sort of like moving to Newcastle if you're a coal miner or something. Makes sense here. And if you live in a place like New Jersey or, you know, Mexifornia or something like that, by all means, run to Idaho or Washington or Oregon or Western Montana. I think Western Montana is the best one a lot here. You know, folks, if I did move up to, Kalispell, Montana, April, I'm sort of with Carl Garst here. I mean, you're just a crazy bitch. You know, I don't think you're a Zog bot. I just think you're a Zog twat. But essentially, April went ahead and banned me because Hadding claimed that I was Martin Lindstedt. And essentially, how dare... Well, I'd already been banned on Four Fags Thebes here, and he's seen the same thing. And so that's Martin Lindstedt, essentially, because Hadding went ahead and snitched me out. She went ahead and banned my... She had my ass banned, or she went ahead whining to somebody to ban my ass. And I didn't say a single thing other than, folks, why don't you just simply let people read for themselves and think for themselves what they want to do? It doesn't really matter. You know, I know it's Stormfront. I mean, Covington is even more persona non grata there than even I am. You know what I mean? I'm persona non grata because of my fighting with Clint Downey and essentially making fun of Spermfront. Essentially, you know, sucking up the geezer guilt and the wiggers mites here. Covington, I mean, you know, Covington has said a number of unkind but true things about David Duck. Okay, Duck's a crook. The Duckster is a crook. That's all. He's a, you know, I mean, folks, the old resistance. A lot of them wanted to be his ass for selling mailing lists of Klansmen here, which weren't supposed to be sold to, well, to a number of places. In 1996, he sold to this lieutenant governor named Fowler, Republican. And essentially, that's, you know, I mean, essentially what happens is David Duke bought and sold and stole mailing lists and sold out people here, and there's a lot of people want to whip his ass. And I heard some people saying, is that, shoot, he was notorious for wanting to hump, you know, your mother, your wife, your sister, your daughter. And essentially some of these people, okay, David Duke, you're gonna be our show opener here, you're gonna be our main event. Guess what, David? You're gonna stay in the motel room. And we're going to go ahead and feed you room service. You're going to go out a half hour before it's time to do a speech. You're going to go ahead. You're going to shake hands. You're going to sign autographs. You're not going to go out into the motel room and screw the bimbos. You're going to go ahead and give your speech. You're going to hang around for 45 minutes afterwards, finishing up signing the autographs. And then you're going to go directly to the, you know, to the room until everybody leaves. And you don't have a chance to go ahead and be screwing, you know, whores here unless you've somehow managed to make a deal with them. And essentially, you're going to keep your pecker in your pocket, and then you're going to go ahead and get paid. And David Duke didn't like that arrangement, but David Duke took it because he wanted the money. And people went ahead and made that arrangement with David Duke because they knew damn well what he would do unless you made an insistence upon it. With April... April is just simply someone who went ahead and had her 15 minutes of fame whoring around, you know, at the National Alliance compound, the Elohim City for creatards. Then she went ahead and used her daughters for a while, and then, you know, essentially they were all going to become little liberal wiggers, and people were making a hard time. Now, I'm not going to give April a hard time concerning her daughters, but hell, if she uses her daughters, I guess they got tired of being used. So here she is now being a little, I guess, a little, you know, freedom of speech censor here. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and essentially read this letter because I went ahead and found it tonight. And it's dated on the 19th of June, a year ago. At that time, she was already running wild. And since I went ahead, you know, she'd said on the 18th here, you know, on the 18th or so, that, hey, she turned on, well, you know, the threat is me and my beaver and meerkats have turned on Tubby. You know what I mean? They had this little character called Molger. His name is Scott Ernest. Essentially, he's just another little doofus, you know, pussy here who doesn't believe in freedom of speech either here. On the 19th of April, I went ahead and wrote, what's up, April? Hello, April. I think you're foolish to rejoin your creatard friends like Wiggerswill and Hadding the Meerkat in order to dump Covington. I don't agree all Gareth Herald, but I don't like some... I But if I don't like some of his material, I make a complaint directly to him. If he doesn't agree with me, then tough. None of us own each other. We don't get to tell the others what to do. Covington hasn't pulled any snitching on others. If he criticizes, and we simply have to learn to get over it, especially if the criticism is spot on. That said, I think you're foolish to go back to Wiggerswill or Hatting, as they're only sops is still living the 90s when Pierce was alive. Everyone in the bowel movement knows Pierce got $400,000 in order money, and everyone knows that the FBI knew it, so they had Pierce by the nutsack. Covington telling the truth about this is legitimate constructive criticism and fair game. You can't serve David Lane and one of his betrayers, Trader Glenn Miller, or those who associate with that drunken rat, and or accept Zogbuts from Trader Glenn Miller like Alex Linder, Wiggerswill, and Hatting. I myself had to denounce Dan Gaiman, Jim Ellison, and Bob Millar of Christian Day for taking order money and or snitching at Fort Smith in my dealings with Catch and David Lane, and I know full well that David Lane never forgave his betrayers. I turned down David Lane's wanting me to become one of his wilderness priests, but I do not see how anyone in the movement can survive siding with snitches. Yes, Covington is often an asshole, but never a snitch. Telling and repeating unpalatable truths from the past is necessary if we are to learn from our mistakes and to keep the newbies safe. I wish you would reconsider siding with solipsistic, treasonous, dead-end losers like Hatting, Scott, David Spidell, Wiggerswill, and then from there directly at Trader Glenn Miller. I'm not asking you to be all buddy-buddy with Covington, just for you not to be used by Hatting and Wiggerswill. You have a different view of Northwest migration than Covington. Fine. I myself would see eye differences about the advisability of this as a practical policy for myself. I have no problem with it for the younger generation living in beater shitholes like California, Texas, Florida, New Jersey, who need to get out of such places. They might as well move to the Northwest and use Covington's plan as a cover while preparing for the Great Tribulation. I'm not out anything by having white people move there. If they are not Christian identity, I have no interest in them. If they are Christian identity, then there is no real differences between the CI position and Covington in the decomposition phase of Zog Babylon. We each have our own different message to spread, and Covington hasn't bothered Christian identity since Hill of the Ravens, and so I made peace with them. Neither of us is answerable to the others, but I'll try to avoid conflict, which is unnecessary, has nothing to do with Christian identity interests, given that we have much the same enemies, starting with Zog Babylon. I thought you didn't like Wiggerswill. Hatting is either a complete mad toy or a Zogbot trying to rewrite the history of the bowel movement. There's not going to be any extra slop in your trough as a reward for you fighting with Covington and siding with these racially treasonous or mamzeroid, matoid, Zogbot ass clowns. As an ally of Covington, I'll be forwarding this message to him, of course. I'm not angry at you, but I think you are being foolish. I don't think it is a particularly bad YouTube video either, although I don't look at it more than twice when it was up on my Firefox window. I've been busy, should have answered as above 2 months ago to you, April. I was hoping that you would remember why you no longer like Wiggerswill and leave off as well. You gain nothing by fighting with Covington and being seen with Hatting and Wiggerswill, and thus by implication, Trader Glenn Miller, and the gut-sick Guido Weasel with Jew-ass cancer, and the rest of the Zogbot Tards. Hail victory. Pastor Martin Luther Jasinski Linstead, Church of Jesus Christ Christian, Area Nation, Missouri, June 19, 2001. Well, it didn't take long for her to send me a response. Essentially, it was called Fuck Hack, Fuck Hatting, and Fuck Will Williams. I have not joined Hatting or Will. I removed them both from WNN, where I am a mod. I have also refused to disclose the location of Covington to Hatting. But I'm not going to allow Covington to continue to post lies about me and my people here just to keep the peace. Well, folks, yeah, someone called Dan Klippitz or something like that here, Colonel House. And from what I gather, it was April Gady who caused almost all the fighting up there. Carl Garst? Heck, he didn't much care for corn cob either. Oh, okay. Oh, Germania Jam here. Okay, I remember. Sorry it took me a while to go ahead and do it here. Covington is knowingly fucking with prisoners at the Coffee Creek Prison for his own personal benefit and perceived glory. They have asked me in person to have the post about them and the prison removed, but Covington now is making up a lie. They sent him a letter saying, if we write to you and tell you to stop, that means we're under duress. This is a bold-faced lie. also hacks webmasters posting lies about what is happening here in Kalispell, i.e. Colonel House. And when I try to post a reply, my replies are removed. Thus, I'm not allowed to answer their accusations. Hacks webmaster and came here and tried to get some of the guys in our group to commit crimes. He has also constantly got drunk and talked about bombs and so forth. He even goes so far as put photos of the local queer church in our computer here at the house, talking about what he wanted to do. This is bullshit. We had to make him go away. Now he's trying to get revenge by posting lies about us on Hack's blog. Hack is so weak, he won't get rid of this guy. And the guy is obviously a weak link and definite liability. Instead, he turned on me. So fuck Hack, fuck Hatting, and fuck Will Williams. Next time you plan to reprimand me, get the full story. Well, I went ahead and looked at it. Now, from what I gather, April, who lives in Montana, is not in Coffee Creek, which is in what, Oregon or Washington. So, I have no idea what these people are writing to April. But I do know April has been known to go ahead and make up shit. I also know that essentially here she is. She gone ahead essentially and banned Will Williams and banned Hatting. And now she's whining that supposedly Dan Klippix or Colonel House won't go ahead and let her say whatever the hell she wants to say. Okay. Well, April, what happens is that you have your places where you get to go ahead and ban Covington and Covington followers, or even people who essentially just simply say, why don't you let people read for themselves what they want? Why don't you just simply let people decide for themselves what they want? All these people are supposedly free, white, and 21. Let them go ahead and decide what they want to do. Why is they slop out of your trough? If someone goes up to Western Montana and says, I'm a Covington supporter as opposed to an April Gatey supporter. Folks, if I was going up to Montana, I would just simply say, well, hey, I'm up here for the wonderful schools and the fresh air. And the sunshine. And the minus 10 degrees winter weather. Which freezes all to death, all the niggers and, you know, beaners. No, I wouldn't say that here. Folks, chances are, and I've advised people who do agree with Covington, I've advised them, you don't need to go ahead and tell your boss that, you know, you've moved up here to essentially fight the North, you know, Northwest Volunteer Army against Zog and kill niggers and beaners or something like that. In fact, I would go ahead essentially and not say anything about that at all. I'd sort of say, you know, someone went ahead and asked, you know, about Harold Covington. I said, you know, Harold Covington who? The same thing with April Gatey. April Gatey who? Now here you are on Stormfront, and the reason I wrote that letter is she was already bitching and pissing and moaning about Harold Covington and Hatting and Will Williams were talking about how essentially April had gone ahead and took their side. That's why I wrote this letter. And what happens is that she's just said, hey, fuck Hack, fuck Hatting, and fuck Will Williams. Folks, April is not able to play along with anybody. Now, if you want to go ahead and hang around April, corn cob, whatever, if you want to go ahead and get some pussy off of April, fine. April essentially, as long as she is carrying cargo, does not mind taking on passengers. So like the Empress Messalina. And folks, Corn Cob is actually working pretty hard, you know, in Wilson, North Dakota. Heck, I might, you know, if I wanted or needed a job in Wilson, North Carolina or North Dakota, I'd just simply go up there and maybe even fly a creatard flag here. No big deal. I might go ahead and say, instead of paying $143, why don't you just go ahead and, you know, I'll give you an even $150 here, and essentially that'll be a little tithe to to Matt Hale or whatever here. You know, the Matt Hale commissary fund or something like that. And I don't have to fly a stupid flag. And folks, I've gone ahead and advised a few people here. I mean, shoot, if somebody from Christian Identity wants to go ahead and find a place to stay, I just simply say, hey, you know, don't go ahead and give Corn Cob a hard time about creativity. Go ahead and just simply, you know, keep it to yourself. Go ahead, essentially, just, you know, be clean, well-shaven, well-spoken. Go up there, and if Corn Cob wants you to, do a few little creatarded little, you know, pinch of incense here, no big deal. Yahweh ain't going to mind. I don't mind. Covington shouldn't mind. But, folks, most of the time, April is just simply intention whore. But what gets me is that when you go ahead and look at it, and folks, I don't believe in unity in this movement. I believe the more fractures, the more decentralization. That's why I call my project the 10,000 Warlords, because 10,000 Warlords are not going to see things as one. They're just going to go ahead and see the main things, and they're going to be fighting with each other all the time. Don't really matter. The strongest will survive. Okay? Anyway, here. Minus 10 degrees, you know, minus 10 degrees, it does happen in Montana. This is bad. It isn't bad as, say, eastern Montana. You know, I mean, it's not as bad, really, in western Montana, but it gets pretty cold in Montana and South Dakota and North Dakota. You know. But in any case, eastern Montana is beautiful. It's just covered with damned Indians here, Cheyennes mainly. But where was I? Folks, this movement is not a unified movement. It's never going to be a unified movement. Certainly not going to be a unified movement as long as you end up having David Duke and, you know, essentially these Christian Identity clowns here, Finkelschini, you know, William Fink, Eli James here. You know, these characters, you know, what I was pointing out here, and one thing I need to do, and I'm running behind, I need to go ahead and essentially redistill the Bertrand Comparé and some of the Wesley Swift stuff here, and essentially put it in a cheap PDF file or a Kindle book or something like that here, and essentially let people understand what Christian Identity is. It's not papist preterism like Eli James and Finkelschini are trying to do, each in their own way. It's not about, you know, corrupt Jew boys with characters. I mean, I was throwing Dan Johns. Essentially, I was throwing Dan Johns by pointing out is that, guess what? If you're bleeding out the ass from Crohn's, a.k.a. Jew Ascades here, like Alex Slender and the rest, it's a sure sign. It's a sure sign you have a kike in your woodpile. Yes, white people do get colon cancer, but they don't get Crohn's. Okay? So, folks, you have all these characters. Every one of them is trying to lead people his own particular way. And most of the time, these people are blind guides. And you need to avoid them. But heck, even if, you know, even on, say, Harold Covington's page, you know, blog post about, what, 2 weeks ago, you know, German Jim, he was complaining that old Rudell was bitching about Christianity and what a bunch of tards there were, and especially I was a big tard. And, well, folks, I don't, you know, Rudell, here you are on Hunter Wallace's blog. Here you are on Hunter Wallace's blog, and essentially Hunter Wallace doesn't hate Covington as much as he used to. I explained to Hunter Wallace that for all practical purposes, if you hadn't gone ahead and trusted Robert Campbell, whoever the hell his name was, to go ahead and essentially let Wiggerswiller Hadding run wild, way back in March of 2010, you essentially may not have been the President of the United States with testicles the size of peanuts. And the thing about it is, you've got to go ahead and understand is that what you want is your Dixie imperative. You want your neo-Confederacy. And, folks, Greg Howard and this Michael Morton, you know, Mira, this Kevin McDonald, this Joe Adams, they're talking about a white republic. Folks, they didn't talk about a white republic 10 years ago. Covington went ahead and actually acted like a sort of icebreaker and went ahead and broke the ice here. And now when people are talking, you know, be they create tars or something, they're talking about a republic. Not, you know, not Northwest here. We'll call Pioneer Little Europe here in Kalispell, not the Northwest Front here. Northwest Front, we will not talk about Northwest Front. Okay. And certainly, if I'm Hunter Wallace here and I want to go ahead and essentially get white people to make the niggers go back and pick cotton, then I tend to doubt it here. One, hell, even a old 1930s style cotton picker picked more cotton quicker, better than 100 niggers. Can you imagine what a Case or a John Deere modulating cotton picker would do? Why, it could pick more cotton than 1,000 niggers. You don't need niggers no more. So what are you going to do with them? The answer is that essentially, when it comes down to it, if you don't have the heart to go ahead and just kill them, then what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to go ahead and wait for something like the Great Tribulation to go ahead and do the job for you. Folks, I don't believe there's going to be a republic anywhere. I believe that things are going to fall apart because of our inherent chaos. And essentially because we can't work together. We're not going to work together. We hate one another. Some cases worse than we hate the Jews. Some cases, you know, many cases worse than we hate the Jews. So, what do you do? And the answer is, I believe you decentralize. But on the other hand, I have always been a fan of essentially letting people go ahead and look at, you know, white people going ahead and looking at what things are and then coming to an informed decision about what they choose to do. And so I've never had a problem with young people. I mean, essentially, if you don't have a pot window to piss it, you know, a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of it, you can go ahead and just as well go to, well, the Northwest and, you know, either still not have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of, or develop your pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of there. Because, folks, I don't altogether agree with Covington's latest thing about how we're going to have an October surprise and a war with Iran. But on the other hand, it's not far-fetched. It's not a far-fetched possibility. What happens, though, is you don't need to have a war with Iran for Zog to be fucked here. Essentially, all you need is just for a financial collapse. Essentially, when you end up having a hyperinflation, and essentially, you end up having niggers running wild already here. Folks, you don't need to have Iran go supernova. Or us go supernova on Iran. I mean, you know, there's all this shit that's going on, and it can go ahead, essentially, and be it. The straw that breaks the camel's back, or it being the match which is attached to a train of gunpowder and blows everything sky high. It doesn't have to be Iran. But it could be. It could be. Does it really matter? Does it really matter what exactly starts the Great Tribulation or the Great Collapse? Does it really matter? Does it really matter? You're going to be in the same situation regardless of how it starts, right? In any case here, yeah, it's a real... I went ahead and invited Germania Jim. I went ahead and seen him. I was messing with my Jew book page for the first time in about, a month or so. You know, now that COVID, everybody's been kicked off of Jew book. I only... I only go to Jew Book every so often here. So I was there, and I went ahead and invited German Jim, Germania Jim, to come by and see the show here. Okay? So, Obago's October surprise is that he will dislegalize Whigger. You know what I mean? That's what he's going to delegalize. Okay, go ahead and, you gotta go ahead and laugh about George Zimmermanser, the Beaner Jew. For some damn reason, the idiot went ahead and essentially waived his, quote, speedy trial. Folks, he shouldn't even be tried. He was getting his ass beat by a nigger. A young, dangerous nigger. He always had stand your ground. Hell, wasn't even stand your ground. It was get you, shoot the nigger before he beat your ass here. Seriously, beat your ass. Essentially, he shouldn't even be tried. But here you have, essentially, a bunch of niggers threatening they're going to riot here. Well, folks, niggers, you go ahead and riot. When things come in, essentially white people are going to go ahead and break out. They're going to go ahead and break out the, 12 gauges. They're going to go ahead and break out the AKs. They're going to go ahead and break out the fully automatic, M16s. They're going to go ahead and, break out the 30-30. And essentially, nigger, if you're not even able to go ahead and grow your own food, essentially you rely on the EBT card, what do you think's going to happen to you, nigger? What do you think's going to happen to niggers or liberals or Jews? Well, essentially, there's no trucks by Ulstermen being driven. What do you think's going to happen when you end up having, if you end up having $17 a gallon gasoline, guess what? You can count on diesel be at least $18, $19, $20 a gallon. What's going to end up happening when that happens? Folks, like we were talking, is that essentially it's admitted that during the last 4 years, 40% of your average American former middle class household has been lost. 40%. Just 10% less than half. I was listening to CNN, when they were talking about how, this Great Recession, it sounded like a death rattle for Zog. Folks, I can't believe, shit's got to where essentially a foreign-born Kenyan shit-skinned nigger is running against a vulture capitalist. And you have two parties that are essentially so clueless here. Essentially, they're saying that, hey, if you don't go ahead and file an income tax return, you can't run, so therefore there's not anything such thing as free, fair, open, honest elections. And there ain't. There ain't. Essentially, we are coming to the end where there's nothing that we can do about it. Okay? I don't know about John the Nutjob turning anyone, in someone to the FBI. I do know that John the Nutjob, I mean, I've never heard of anybody being hurt by John D. Nugent other than this Finnish kid. I mean, if you're a Finnish kid with an overextended visa, stay away from John the Nugent. I mean, if you're sane, stay away from John the Nugent is just a nutjob. He's a sort of dishonest nutjob, but he hasn't, I don't know if he's really sent anybody to the FBI here, but he's a nutcase. I mean, he went ahead and he whined, "Don't send me any more mail. You're insane. And everybody thinks you're pathetic." And I was tempted to say, look, John nutjob. Everybody thinks we're both insane. They think you're insane, they think I'm insane. They think I'm a sociopath. They think you're just a pathetic feeb. Whining like a pussy. First that your mother sexually molested you, then your daddy sexually molested you, then the dog and the cat sexually molested you, and then whining like a pussy about it is not what people want to go ahead and choose for President of the United States here. You need to go ahead and just say, "I have a cast iron bunghole. I did survive." I did survive. You know, sort of like Tom Metzger here. I mean, talks about lone wolves here. Now he wants you to send him some money, but in order for you to get a subscription, you have to know who you are. This is not lone wolf. This is lone tard. Okay? Lone tard. Essentially, he wants some money. All these other characters here. I mean, you know, they're talking about Tom Robb. Well, Tom Robb got a bunch of, you know, got a bunch of negatives. Tom Robb is not dual seed line. He's single seed line. He hangs around old Clunt and Mark Downey. Essentially, they're no devil nitwits. I mean, yeah, I've heard a bunch of complaints from dual seed line Christian Dandy churches here about Tom Robb. Essentially, he's after money. He's after money and he's after followers. So essentially, he has a bunch of people who are tards who give him money. Okay? Now, is Tom Robb likely to get in trouble? Well, probably not. But if you're dual seed line, why are you hanging around Tom Robb? Why are you hanging around somebody who is going ahead and hangs around somebody who believes this crap that there is no devil, therefore there is no seed line? You know, who ain't even one seed line. There's no seed line because essentially there is no devil. I mean, I was listening to Finkelschini's show with Mark Downey the other day. Essentially, they belong together. You know, here's the Jew boy who murdered a Puerto Rican prisoner and talks about how tough he is here. Now he's off parole. He's running around. And he's with Clunt down here, a little meerkat, the former sexual mascot of the Washington State Klan, and the Clunt who went ahead and ran off the sexual mascot, and they believe in essentially something derived by Gerda Koch, who is a Kikist from Northwest Arkansas, who believes there is no devil. There's no devil. Well, no devil except Pete Peters. So I guess now the devil's dead here. And think, he believes there's no devil. Why the Roman Catholic Church put the devil in the pit from 500 to 1500, and then he got turned loose here, and then essentially people who follow the devil were Protestants, but oh, I don't like the Roman Catholic Church. Well, then why do you follow papist preterism here? I mean, think, doesn't believe there's any devil. I mean, he sort of died in the pit, poor devil, and now the devil's the Jews. And Adolf Hitler is the Archangel Michael. Now, folks, is that Christian identity? Nope. I was listening to that. I went ahead and listened to another show about papist preterism, and Fink didn't like me going ahead and calling him papist preterist. But that's exactly what he is. In any case here. All right? Well, folks, the reason this show is fun is that I've been in the bowel movement not as long as Covington. He's been around since what? Oh, 1972 is how he goes ahead and claims. So he claims what, 40 years? I claim what? I claim what, 19 years? So half as long as Covington, okay? But on the other hand, I hanged out with different people than Covington did. He hung out around the Nazis here. I hung out around the Christian Identity people, okay? So, in any case here, well, what happens is that, I went ahead and I seen Andy here before he went to Northwest here. Andy's a nice guy here. And I don't, you know, he's a pretty solid guy here. And, I don't begrudge Harold Covington going ahead and making use of, essentially solid people. I mean, you know, Andy's sort of people that Harold Covington is trying to go ahead and track here. Steve Elder is the kind of people that, kind of Jew boys with crows, who likes Brian Rio, who essentially, Covington should sort of, you know, I mean, sort of stay away from me. Go away, boy, you bother me. I was trolling the crap I was using the Tor browser on Dan John's last night here, talking about, you know, See, Dan Johns' son, Legal Man 2012, or as I call him, Legal Mamzer 2012, Fit calls him Legal Mamzer 2012. He went ahead, and somebody went ahead and said, well, what disease you got? He says, I got Crohn's. The commander has Crohn's, too. He tells me how to go ahead and cure the Crohn's. And then the next day, he goes ahead, he tells Dan Johns to tell his son not to use this particular drug, which is meant to fight Crohn's, because it doesn't work. So, you know, they were talking about imprecatory prayer last night on the Dan Johns show, and I said, Jew boys are bleeding assholes from Crohn's or Jew ass AIDS, shouldn't be going ahead and, you know, talking about imprecatory prayer when they're the ones that had to wear colostomy bags. So, what happened is he had this Nimbuster, he went ahead and taught me how to troll. He was over there, and he was trolling up a storm. But essentially, I was just, you know, I wasn't using a script. I was just using the Tor browser to go ahead and get in about, one or two. One time I got 4 lines of mean stuff by him and Brian Reel. And in any case, folks, I've been around the movement. And, folks, the only new thing is the same old, other than someone went and pointed out, is that Hal Turner is in a halfway house. He's been in rather limited communications, which is unlawful, unconstitutional, anti-bill of goods. And, folks, there's some good things about Hal Turner. But on the other hand, he's a lying piece of shit who went ahead, essentially, and went to snitch on people. The thing about it is that it is a good thing. It's a good thing that some people who are so-called white nationalists are so freaking defective that they can't even do a good job of snitching for the FBI. They're so defective. They're so idiotic that they can't even go ahead and do a good job for the FBI. You know, I mean, if Hal Turner had gone ahead and snitched on Edgar Steele, I think Edgar Steele would be a free man today. If John the Nut Job would have gone ahead and snitched on Edgar Steele would have been, I mean, folks, the people that the FBI has as movement leaders, they're so dysfunctional, they don't even make good snitches or good tards here. Traitor Glenn Miller lied and lied and lied. You're such a drunken liar here. That says the jury 25-some years ago figured out correctly that, yes, all these people hate the government. What is not believable is you could get more than 5 of them together in one place without them all trying to kill one another. And essentially, you're trying to prove a criminal conspiracy. Essentially, these people cannot get along with each other at all. It's not believable that there was a grand conspiracy involving, what, 15 or 20 or 30 of them together. These people hate one another. These people cannot work together. That's why this show is about decentralization. Because, folks, you know, I mean, I think it's sort of silly for Hillcoat to expect people to go ahead and work together. Hell, it couldn't even keep April. Couldn't even keep that, you know, crazy bank April. Of course, on the other hand, there's nobody's going to keep April on the reservation. Neither husband nor Hal Covington is going to go ahead and keep April on the freaking reservation. You know what I mean? So anyway, here. Oh, okay. Well, hey. Oh, you're 57. I thought you were a lot younger than that here. You know what I mean? So, any case here. Oh, well, I was listening to this sort of thing. I mean, there's some sort of notion here. You know, in the case of India, you had Israelites in India. You had Jews in India. St. Thomas, Downing Thomas here. He hung around the characters who turned into Mamzers. He hung around Egypt, he hung around Nubia, he hung around Kush, and the Coptic churches, we had these Israelites who were already becoming niggers, miscegenating, and they went to India, where they were also miscegenating and turning darker and darker and darker, and he preached to them. And from what I gather, he was murdered by Jews who did not like what he was talking to the few Israelites, the few Aryan remnants around Goa, India, and they had him murdered. And essentially what happens, they said, is that those Jews who went ahead and plotted to have him murdered, what happens, there was a curse on them to where their nutsack would expand. They'd have scrofula. Their nutsack would expand here, and that was a Jew's penalty for plotting the murder. Well, and they did murder, Thomas. So, yes, you end up having, you got to understand, is that the land of Palestine could at best support about 3 million people. So as a result, you had the Israelites go all the way from Ireland and Britannia and Scotland later on. Around the time of Christ, they were in Ireland. They were before Ireland. They were in Ireland when Jeremiah brought Tetefi to marry the Ulsterman High King of Ireland, Tara, in 587 or so BC. So you had Israelites scattered from Ireland all the way through Europe, all the way from Western Asia and Galatia, and all the way to Iran, Persia, and all the way through what became now known as Afghanistan, all the way to India. You had Israelites scattered all the way from India to Ireland. And that's why each of the 12 disciples was sent to go ahead and preach to the sundry tribes that was scattered all across. They had lost their identity, but Jesus Christ knew who they were. And so, I don't know. I'm not going to go ahead and reject that Buddha was or wasn't an Israelite. I don't really know. Okay? But folks, you had Abraham's seed scattered like the sands of the ocean. And you had them scattered from Ireland to India. But what you end up having is that they would go ahead and they would race mix, they would dip their wick, they would go ahead and do some Peter Duncan, and as a result, you have more and more Mamzers, and you have fewer and fewer and fewer whites. Fewer and fewer pure-blooded whites. And now, I was trying to tell Germania Jim, like Pastor John Britton told me about, 8 months ago, is that above ground Christianity is just wall to wall, Jew boys and Mamzers and the rest here. These people have no idea what the hell they're talking about. They don't have a clue. So I was going ahead and reading this book today when I went up to, I was sitting in the back seat of Emily's, my stepdaughter's car going up to Joplin. I was reading a book about self-publishing, electronic publishing. And they say, well, who are you going to have edited? And the answer is, well, who am I going to have edited? I mean, Clifton Emeiser, the papist preterist, Finkelschini, the Ryan Palatine Jew boy, Eli James, the Portuguese Marino Mamzer, Dan Johns, another Mamzer bleeding out the ass, Jeremy Visser, a Melungeon, criminal, Mumps Nuts Liar Bill DeClueless, who, the guys are, all these characters, who's going to go ahead and edit? And the answer is that about all I can do is just go ahead and condense the Comparé and the Wesley Swift and add a few of the, what I've gone ahead and seen. That's how I should put it out, and I need to go ahead and do that. Okay? Anyway, in any case, Well, it's not just fools. It's full of Mamzers and Jews. I mean, heck, you go over to my forum, you go ahead and see a Eli James here. One of the Christian Identity people who I sort of knew, he went ahead and had a picture of Rahm Emanuel from Christmas, you know, from Hanukkah. You know, it's around, you know, around Christmas time, 2010, had Rahm Emanuel flanked by two Jews, two Jew rabbis in Ludovitzer hats here, and one of them looked exactly like Eli James's younger twin brother. I keep on going ahead and say, well, why does Eli James look like a Chicago, you know, Ludovitzer or a Sephardic Jew? Well, I know why, because it is here. I would be surprised if that Jew rabbi, you know, got squeezed out of Rachel Cutts November's, you know, pussy here, about 40, 50 years ago. Essentially, he's Eli James's nephew or something. I mean, folks, just go ahead and look at these characters. And then they hang around Brian Rio. Yeah, that's what Fink is doing. Fink is going on a tour. 2 weeks ago, he was at Clint and Mark Downey's Kentucky place. Last week, he was supposed to be talking from Jarrell Mosley's Shreveport home. Essentially, what he's doing is he's making the Bell Priest tour. And Fink lied to me, lied to everybody, pretending that, oh, he was a supervisor here. And the actuality is he was the one who actually murdered a Puerto Rican prisoner. Now, I don't mind him killing Puerto Ricans, but I do mind him being a pig and killing prisoners and then lying to me about it. I mean, I listened to Fink's great scholar. I was going ahead and looking at the November 10th of 2010 post here. Fink is claiming that essentially the New Testament has been mistranslated to resurrection, to restoration. Well, resurrection is a religious term. Talking about a dead body, which is not even a body in some cases, just dust or bones or ash or whatever, being reanimated and judged. Whereas restoration is a political event. And he's going ahead and claiming that essentially talking about being resurrected to be judged for the judgment day is a forgery, is a fraud. Well, folks, he sounds more like a creatard. I was listening to Hal Turner and Matthew Hale, and essentially someone went ahead and called in, well, who's the creator? Well, there is no God. The white people are the creators. All right? Well, who created the white people then? We don't get into that. Okay, if you don't get into that, then how are you a religion? Essentially, Benny Klassen, you know, a lot of people think he was a self-hating Jew boy, who went ahead and essentially having the God be the Jewish people, went ahead and essentially had creatards learn to worship themselves. And it's not really a religion. It's not really a religion. There are no super, if there's no supernatural elements to it, and that's what you're going to go ahead and talk, then why do you call it religion? Just call a bunch of tards claiming it's going to be a religion. That's all it is. So folks, what you go ahead and see on this show is that this show is about talking about our wonderful bowel movement and its various failures over the years. And Harold Covington goes ahead and talks about them as well. He's gone ahead and fessed up that he's been part of it. But folks, I don't see essentially trying to build something when everything's falling apart going ahead and working. I agree with Harold Covington in that Zog will fall apart. And folks, there's nothing wrong with white people going ahead, essentially, and trying to go ahead and build something here. But I don't believe there's enough left to build. I do believe Jesus Christ is going to come. But on the other hand, I don't have a problem with Harold Covington because he don't have a problem with that. Don't worry, Germania Jim, about some little tard talking about how Revealio P. Oliver was so smart. Yeah, he was so smart. They went ahead and wrote a bunch of stuff about, how it's an awful thing that nobody's a Christian anymore so that us intellectual tards can do well. What did, your biggest disciple, and this is the thing that got censored on Covetous, your biggest disciple, Revealio P. Oliver, was a character called Kevin Alfred Strom. And I don't know, I'm going to go ahead, because I was falsely accused, I'm going to go ahead and give Kevin Alfred Straub the benefit of the doubt, but guess what? Whereas I went ahead and hung tough and just simply told the judge and told the pigs, is that, hey, you want to go ahead and raise false molestation charge? Well, don't be bitching me when I come to power, and I go ahead and give you a choice of being skinned or being gelded. Don't be whining here about what happened, when people like me come and destroy your families after you destroyed ours. You can't expect good when you've done nothing but evil. Christian identity doesn't believe in going ahead and giving Jews back good. Don't believe in giving Mamsers back good. Don't believe in giving Uyghurs back good in return for nothing more than evil to go ahead and destroy us as a people. If someone does evil to you, you don't need to turn the other cheek here. There's a time and a place for everything. And there may have been a time in Jesus' day when he was just going ahead and building this church. But folks, we are in the end times now. And folks, if someone does evil to you, you do 10 times worse back to him, to where essentially, even if he's worth saving here, he learns that you're not an easy mark. You're not a Uyghur tart. There's nothing wrong with doing bad to evil people, or doing bad to people who are not even people, but who are Jews or Mamsers or Uyghurs, who have gone ahead and gone way out of the line to where they're traitors. Nope. Yahweh does not want you to be a pussy. Yahweh wants you to go ahead when the time comes in, but you got to know when the signs of the times are here. I'm not advocating anybody go ahead and get trouble. In fact, I'm advocating people stay out. Go ahead and stay, go ahead. Zog is doomed. You need to go ahead. 3-point plan here. Get in right with Yahweh. Number one. Number two, if you don't believe in Yahweh. Number two, take care of yourself and those of your family you need to take care of. And then, only number three, is when the Great Tribulation has worked its way and you and your family are around, then is the time to go ahead and mop up, because Jesus Christ is coming. So as a result, I believe in decentralizing the movement. 10,000 warlords. Because there's only going to be 10 million or less surviving Uyghurs when this Great Tribulation starts rolling into year 6.5. Because things are going to get bad. Very bad. So what you need to do is you need to go ahead and have your shit together. You need to go ahead and figure out which of your family you need to take with you. And you need to go ahead and figure out which of your friends are your friends. That's what you need to do. Not run around in uniform. Not run around making an ass clown of yourself. Not run around doing stupid shit. That's what you need to do. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead, and I think I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I guess I end up talking more than I thought I would. And, folks, I do repeat myself. I admit that. But, anyway, I'm trying to go ahead and get the old stuff up, that Brian Rio and Eli James managed to go ahead and take down on the previous talk show, place. I'm trying to go ahead and get this stuff done here. So, folks, you can go ahead and catch me Sunday night, or you can go ahead and just download Forbidden Pleasure. I wouldn't broadcast this show. It's a sort of guilty pleasure. And, folks, I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I'm going to go ahead and say, Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night. Thank you.
we hi-yi-oh-ho. And we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi-yi-oh-ho. Why they don't revolt, ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. Why they don't civil war, ho, on the courthouse walls, let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrie-lay-i, all who was then the ruling man, Kyrie-lay-i. Why they go revolt, ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. Why they go civil war, ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. For white men their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On sogling necks we stomp our boots to stamp out gusto. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its greed, hi-yi-oh-ho. The love of God our only need, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right, hi-yi-oh-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.